Thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped themed monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beers selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery, and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com.
Proper Sport at 6 on Radio Yorkshire. Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
It's that time of week again, Monday, 6 until 8 o'clock, when we pick the bones out of a Rugby League weekend. What a busy weekend it's been. Salary cap raise last week. Ben Westwood, is he going to get banned? Surely he is. What is it, Grade D's been charged with 3 to 5 game ban. Got a small matter of Kieran Cunningham getting the old tin tack this afternoon as well, after a little bit of a spiky press conference on Friday night. We'll look at that as well. And what about the Red Devils? Huge winners at the KCOM on Friday night. 54-18 winners there. The Dragons, we've even got listeners in France now. They don't like SCOE either. 37-26 winners at Lee. The Giants get the point at St Helens that ultimately did for Kieran Cunningham. The Vikings ambushed by Trinity, who get another win to move them fifth in the table. Warrington off the mark. But should Ben Westwood have seen red? Surely he should. And Castleford, top of the pile. Big win at the DW. And what about the comeback for the Batley Bulldogs? I thought they'd done and dusted, but they turned it round against the Hornets. Big win for the Bulls. Big win for Featherstone over London. Halifax over Dewsbury. OKR roll on. And Toulouse beat Oldham comfortably as well. We'll talk about all that and another big win for Toronto. Another big defeat for the Hemel Stags. You know the drill by now. You want to talk Rugby League? Get in touch at RL on RY. You can get in touch as well via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. Comments welcome. Get them in. It's the show where you set the agenda. Monday night, 6 until 8. Richard Shawright is here in the house. He's happy because Wakefield are winning again. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening.
Are you well?
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, hasn't it?
Very good, it has indeed. It's been a stressful day for Phil Kaplan, editor of 4020 magazine. The front page done and dusted. But then Kieran got the sack and you've got to do it all again.
Stop the press.
Yeah, literally.
But never mind all of that. Where's the cake?
Yes, the legend was at Featherstone yesterday.
Stories. Where is the lemon drizzle cake?
Yeah, we had a poll last week. Was SCOE missed? It was 50-50. 50 were glad that you weren't... 50% glad you weren't here. And the other 50% were missing you because they just wanted to abuse you. So, split opinion, really. Gary, are you well?
Very well, yes.
Where is
I'm
the
back.
Lemon drizzle cake? You had this big date you were going on with the lady at Featherstone yesterday.
Joanne, yeah, yes.
You were promised
yes.
cake. And me and Phil and Richard
we've seen
not got a
photographic
got
evidence of cake.
Not
got I don't see
well,
actual cake.
Well, my other half, Craig Murdoch, it was in the press room yesterday. Absolutely lovely, lovely cake. I'd say I had 3 pieces, to be honest with you.
All right.
That's
yes,
ours, then.
It was, yeah, that's ours. So.
No, it was very nice, Joanne. And I say, well, she was in there and watching me really enjoy the fruits of it, so very, very, very appreciated. And yeah, and also as well, thanks for all the respect from everybody last week. I have been told the legend was missed. The legend's back here tonight.
I thought the listening figures were up.
Plenty of talking, boys. But I tell you what, I just want to say, lads, I have got some friends. Believe it or not, I've got some great friends up in Workington. And I just want to say to my great friend up there, Raymond Barker. It's his 80th birthday tomorrow, so Ray, and I say Butch Barker is his son who's the assistant coach at Workington. Happy 80th tomorrow, Ray, and I know they're going to be having a few sherbets on Saturday afternoon, I'm led to believe, in the Holt Park Hotel. So from the legend, Ray, likes a pint of Guinness, have a few down, Scully will be thinking about you. Happy birthday, son. Many more years left in him. But the legend's back. Let's get ripped in. Because I'll tell you what, I'm ripping into the salary cap. I'm ripping into Wiley, Ben Westwood, water suspended. Quite simply, there's no room in for tackles like that. And let me just tell you this as well. If I see again another crusher tackle, I tell you what, them people at the RFL, I tell you what, solicitors should get involved, because there's no pie in the game whatsoever. For the crusher tackle, it should be 12 months. Simple as that. And Benny Westwood, why that wasn't sent off? Referees, are they bottleless? Must be. Don't they want to send people off nowadays? Say sending off offence. Westwood for mine, it's 6 matches.
Gary, breathe. Okay, we've got 2 hours, not 2 minutes.
He's going to peak too early.
He's blowing himself out. We'll have to take him off after 10 minutes.
Hey, listen, mate, I don't need no head test this week. I tell you, I don't need no head test. The head might be buzzing.
Well, some would say you need one every week.
I tell you what.
Regardless of whether we beat you or not.
Don't need a head test. Don't need to be head test. At times, I get a little bit furious. I get a little bit upset. Because I tell you what, Mark Wilson. I'll tell you what, Phil Kaplan. Also, too, as well, Richard Shawright. I'm passionate about this game. I want to make sure players at times get protected.
Well, we should play less games then.
Yeah, well, there's a thought, Phil. Oh. Right, we've got a little bit of housekeeping that we need to do this week. We have, of course, as we always do, have a prize to give away. For anyone that gets in touch tonight, we want you to share on Facebook with all your friends the link, the Facebook Live link. If you tweet in or you send us a comment, you'll be entered into a draw. The prize this week, kindly donated by Michael Carter at Wakefield, is 2 tickets. For the Easter Monday game, is it Wigan? Is it Wigan?
Wigan.
The commemorative buses to go to London are out for Sean Wayne. In fact, if anyone takes a big cardboard cut out of a bus and waves it in front of Sean Wayne's face on Friday,
Think he should have to do that. So anyway, look, let's get this right. If you get in touch tonight, Facebook, Twitter, if you listen to the podcast, if you send us in a tweet that says or a Facebook message that says I've listened to it, you'll be entered into the draw. We'll do that on Wednesday. We'll do it a bit later on. We'll do it at 5 o'clock on Wednesday. It's the deadline for that one, so Richard will take care of that. And we've got to ask people to download the podcast, Rich, because we've had record numbers week after week after week. But we want more. We like what's he called? What is he called?
Oliver Twist.
That's it, Oliver Twist.
From the books, yeah. Subscribe if you're on iTunes. Leave us a review as well, and you know we might.
We're going to give a prize away for the not the nicest review. You can be as horrible as you want.
Please give us 5 stars.
Yeah, give us 5 stars, and then you can say whatever you want after that.
Five stars.
Anyone that does that, we've got a prize to give away for that. We're not sure what it will be. It could be you've got to take Scotty to the races or something
we'll
like that.
We'll get some tap from my box of programme signed by.
I'll tell you what. Craig Barker, who's Raymond's son, and he's just been in contact there, Craig, and just said, Scoey, thanks very much for the respect you just showed me, Dad. There's a few pints of Guinness waiting for you when you come back up to Cumbria.
Oh, is that for me, Phil and Rich? That's good. We look forward to it.
I'm up there on the 3rd and 4th of June for the big function I've got for Jimmy Dalton. I'm at the work to game on the 4th, so cheers, Craig. Look forward to a couple of quiet ones of the black stuff. Looking forward
good
to
stuff.
It.
Good stuff. Right, let's see where the listeners want to go this evening. You can get in touch on Facebook, as always, if you are listening. Do us a favour, share it with your friends, let them know. The more people know we're here, the more people can get in touch, the more we're out there to the general public. Right, where do we want to go?
Well, I'll start with Tom, because it's where a lot of people want to talk today, and it is Kieran Cunningham. He thinks Saints are still a hooker and a prop shot to win Super League. Oh, that's Salford. But for St Helens, who were not as good as Salford. And Kieran Cunningham, it's a results business. Results simply not good enough for a club the size of St Helens. Robert Hess says Jason Taylor for Saints. Stephen Coates says Tim Sheens for St Helens. Currently no one has gone for Steve McNamara, who was high up with the bookmakers on Saturday night.
Right, let's get the opinion then of our team tonight. Phil Kaplan, has he been harshly treated? Not Phil, our man Kieran Cunningham.
He's been treated totally wicked. It's just interesting timing, isn't it? Because he's going into two of arguably the biggest games of the season for St Helens. They've got Wigan in the Derby on Good Friday, and then they've got league leaders Castleford on Easter Monday. Two results in those games. Saints are back up to challenging for the top four. Kieran's probably safe. The issue, I don't think, is the results. They're about where you think they would be with the squad that they've got and the fact that Matty Smith didn't play for the opening month of the season. I think it's more to do with the style of play. Yes, it's a results business. It's also a financial business. And Eamon McManus is an exceptional businessman. And he also has debt to repay on a stadium that he's bequeathed to the people of St Helens. He needs people turning up. And word is getting round that people are dissatisfied with the style that they're playing. The fact that they were 14-0 up against Huddersfield on this weekend and they didn't put the foot on the throat. That's the time to throw the ball about and really impose yourself. The fact that they were hanging on at the end and were lucky to get a draw, I think says more about the style of the play than the result. The issue then becomes, if Kieran isn't the answer, who is? This is a really interesting time to change a coach because there's not a lot out there you can change him for. If you're going the British way, then do you go for maybe a partnership with Paul Anderson and Paul Wellens, who know the club, that they're involved together at England, or do you start saying, well, actually, you know, Kieran was so entrenched, and we should pay, at the very first point, pay tribute to the 24 years he's put in there, which have been certainly exceptional on the playing point of view. Do you move away from that? Do you go down to the Daniel Anderson model and bring somebody in who doesn't know Saints and the Saints way and brings a fresh approach, in which case I think you are looking at Australians. There isn't another obvious candidate here. You've got Jeff Toovey, who's already over, can't seem to get a work permit for Bradford, but I think the challenge of St Helens would certainly be of interest to him. There might be a bit of compensation that would have to be paid to get his visa made out in a different name. Jason Taylor's been mentioned because he's available. He's a half-back. I think he does like to play rugby. He was involved in so much politics at West, I don't think we ever knew if he was a good coach. Do you go down the road of looking at some assistants in NRL clubs, which Daniel Anderson was when Saints found him? Do you perhaps go for, I don't know, Steve Price, who's at Cronulla? Again, who's coached at top level with New Zealand Warriors, then became an assistant again in a Cronulla side that's just won the championship. He might be a good bet. I don't know, do you even look at somebody like David Fairley? Again, there's a link with St Helens. He's making his name as an assistant coach. Do you bring him on board? So you would think that they'd investigated all of this over the weekend and they've got somebody in mind, but seems a tough call.
Yeah, I think Kieran himself, unfortunately, yeah, he's paid the price. It is a results business, but yeah, the style of play, I'll buy into that for without a doubt. And yeah, they're nowhere near the St Helens of old. And no, but I feel sorry for Kieran from a point of view that them players have let him down. I feel them players have let him down massively. You know, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And
Where did you expect them to finish, though?
Oh, certainly, when we look at that player squad, certainly in the top four, without a doubt, Phil. Yeah, OK, yeah, we've been missing Marty Smith. I'll tell you what as well now, here, because Kieran and Cunningham, as a result, more best to get Marty Smith there. Marty Smith now has only played twice, or is it three times, just to Kieran. So I wonder how he feels. But for mine, it's the players who have totally, totally let Kieran Cunningham down. And I say, as a player, we all know 24 years at St Helens. As a player, he's in the top three without a shadow of a doubt since the Super League era came in 96. Yeah, results business. But for mine, it's the players. They've talked the talk, but they haven't walked the walk. But as far as coaches go, I'll sling my name in the hat in a minute. But you talk about Jason.
Oh, whoa! What did you just say then?
No, not mine. No, the name of mine. It's not mine.
Oh, jeez!
Hey, listen, I should throw my name.
All them St Helens fans who wanted Cunningham out, just getting a placard, getting back in.
You know what? The Saints fans would love me being their coach. You know why? Because I'd just be saying, "Hey, listen, we've got 18 minutes. Just throw the ball about. Let's score more points than the opposition." There you go.
What was your winning percentage again?
That's entertainment.
What was your winning percentage?
When I was at Huddersfield, it was better than John Keir's. Malcolm Wheelie, Tony Smith, and Phil. When you're talking about percentages, then I tell you, well, I won two from 13.
That'll do well at
Saints. So that'll do. But anyway,
another 2 weeks. Hold on, let's work it out.
Says you're the best for the job. So
that'll do for me.
After 21 rounds,
I hope Eamon's
listening. They'll be sat on 11 points. They'll be delighted with that.
Hey, listen, one thing for sure. If I was the St Helens coach, they'd be playing open attractive rugby league.
But why aren't they playing open and rugby league with Sean Long on the coaching staff?
Well, this is again, that's a head scratcher, isn't it? But also, coach has been mentioned. Jason Taylor, he's done absolutely nothing in the NRL. He caused absolute mayhem at West Tigers. Got rid of his best player, fell out with his best player, Robbie Farrell. So forget about Jason Taylor. Somebody's mentioned Tim Sheens. Well, I know some of the Hull KR fans. Okay, they're pretty happy that they're sitting at the top of the league there, but they're getting fed up with a boring style of rugby league. Boring style of rugby league. And if St Helens want to go back to attractive rugby league, do you know who they should appoint? Do you know who they should appoint? Paul Rowley. Simple as that. Paul Rowley, make him your next coach of St Helens. He wants to play a game in the right way, and I'm sure he'll get a reaction from the players.
Just looking at the championship table with Hull KR 9 out of 9, playing this boring brand of rugby, 4,386 points difference. 258, that's 100 more than any other team. That's boring.
Oh, hold on,
are
Phil.
You Tim Sheen's
that's
agent,
boring.
Phil? Are you his agent?
Phil, have you seen some of the poor teams in the championship? Have you seen the quality of Hulkinson Rovers' side?
Have you seen
Hulkinson Rovers literally full time?
4 points ahead of everybody else.
I'm only saying what Hull KR fans are saying
to me.
They're
turning up in big numbers.
Of course they are.
They must be enjoying it because they will be this year, Phil.
The novelty will wear off, as I can tell you the Bradford fans will vouch for. It'll wear off quite quickly.
I think he's doing a decent
job. But for me, for St. Helens, oh, I'm not saying he's not doing a decent job. Of course he's doing a good job, but he will do with him sort of plays what he's got. Mm. But St. Helens, for mine, the new coach, if it's not me, it's simple here, Paul Rowley. Simple as that.
Paul Rowley, says Scoey. Rich, what do you make of the weekend's activities?
It's all very exciting, wasn't it? I was enjoying watching the video while I was sat idling my way through the day on social media and seeing Mr. Cunningham's responses to some... they weren't very probing questions, were you? You weren't asking difficult questions there, were you?
I didn't think so. Well, I thought I was in the right to ask them.
I tell you what, though, when I've seen it, your tanks were nicely warmed up, weren't they? Them tanks are yours, Mark Wilson. I tell you what, some people are saying to me, that Mark Wilson score, he's...
The Jeremy Paxman,
he's got some tanks.
Leave me out.
You've got some tanks, haven't you? Why should I leave you out? I'm not saying you've got Matt, I'm not saying you've got Kieran Cunningham in the sack, but that's what
you're other people are. Other people are.
I'm not saying that you've got
Kieran. My phone has not stopped buzzing.
I'm not saying that you've got Kieran in the sack. No, right. So you should be asking open and honest questions, because at the end of the day, that's what you're paid to do. You're a pundit, and
well,
the St. Helens fans want to know that.
You're representative of the fans as well, and those are the questions that they would ask in that situation.
The fans want to know that, but what I'll say is here, because I know myself, you know, I wasn't a bad player, and it didn't work out for me as a coach, and as you've already said, Mark, a few times, so has Phil Kaplan, great players don't make great coaches, but unfortunately now for Kieran, the question is, where does he go now? Does he go back to being assistant somewhere? Or will anybody else give him an opportunity? Because, you know, I never got any opportunities and all this sort of thing because, for whatever reason. But again, will he be lost to the game? Will he be given an opportunity? But I just feel it's the players who have let him down badly. I do.
Okay, fair enough. Players have let him down, but they play to orders, don't they?
Yeah, you would say so. So, yeah, he's got to take responsibility for that, Matt. But the orders, what he's been giving them, they've been very ordinary, realistically, what they've been doing, haven't they? You know, against Huddersfield on Friday night, 14-0 up, OK, Kieran's mayor said to him, listen, we're going to play a bit conservative. But they were even rubbish at that, Mark, weren't they? What I'm hearing, Huddersfield got a bit of a sniff, decided, hey, I tell you what, these guys don't want it. They don't want to get the 40 points against us, so we'll get ourselves back into the game. And realistically, if Danny Bruford had kicked the goal from the sidelines, then Huddersfield would have won. So, yeah, Kieran has to take responsibility for the style of play.
Why would he want to play conservatively?
I don't know.
Coming through the ranks of a team that is renowned for
And the player what he was. Hey, well, what about Paul Scunthorpe? Because he's on the coaching staff at England. What about him for coach?
Is it that Kieran isn't saying close the game down? It's the players are inhibited in some way?
I don't know, but the players have got in the sack anyway. Simple as that.
Okay, fair enough. What do you think? What does Twitter and Facebook think of this one then, Rich?
Split opinions on who should be the next coach. George says, why hasn't Sean Long gone along with Kieran and put Mike Rush in temporary charge? Frankie says, Sean Long should be the next coach.
There you go. I mean, that's social media in a nutshell, isn't it?
Do you know what, Mark Wilson? Since we've been working together now for 3 years, is it, or whatever, and, you know, I've called you bonkers a few times. That is an absolute bonkers comment from that gentleman there. Absolute bonkers.
One says yeah, one says nay.
Sean Long the coach.
Okay.
Absolute bonkers.
Martin Gleeson's doing a very good job as assistant at Salford. Do you think he'd be tempted?
Paul Rowley. Paul Rowley's the next man for St. Helens for mine.
Well, Gary Carter agrees with you, so you've got someone on your side.
He's worried that he agrees with a legend, yeah. So, you know.
As Gemma says, would he leave Toronto? Because, you know, they're flying high.
Of course he would. He'd he'd walk home from... Well, he's not at Toronto at the moment, but he's in Brighouse.
He's not like you, Scott. He can't walk on water, you know.
You know, he'd walk from Brighouse to St. Helens. Don't worry about that. Paul Rowley's a man for St. Helens.
Okay.
Fair enough. Joanne, the great...
Where's our cake?
The great Fev Bake Off winner.
Where's our cake?
Yeah. Alan Kilshaw for Saints. What about him?
Not the way he lost the lead yesterday at... Well,
probably a bit too early in his coaching development, but
Yesterday, Well, I tell you what, when you look at the coaching in that championship, you've got Kilshaw there, you've got John Duffy at Swindon, good English coach, you've got Scott Neil at Oldham, so maybe a little bit too early for them, but I tell you what, why, you know, what about being assistants? You know, under a Paul Rowley, why not being assistants? Well, I tell you what about another one here? He likes to play the game in the right way. What about another one for St. Helens? Paul Cook at Lee. What about Cookie at Lee? He'll play the right way. Sling him in the mix. Right. But one thing for sure here, I'm not having Phil Kaplan's choice of Jason Taylor.
I thought you meant
not
Phil Kaplan.
Not a chance.
David Fairley, I think.
A forward. He'll play boring rugby league, Phil. Play boring rugby league. Australian, boring. St. Helens, you know you're saying, Phil, with Leeds Rhinos. You know Leafs from the old days. Yeah. Derek Turner got the sack. Derek Turner got the sack. He did the double, the sack because he didn't play the right way.
The Leeds Rhinos have got a forward coach, them who's the most successful coach they've ever had in their history.
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, it's all about quality players. We all know that. A coach is only as good as his players. I know that.
Right,
I know that. Me being a coach, Huddersfield and Barrow, my players would rubbish.
So whoever you bring in... Have they got good enough players to be anywhere other than where they are in the league?
Of course, yeah, St Helens should be better than where they are.
Well, all right, then. Go back. Recruitment. Poor. Very, very poor recruitment.
Well, that's Mike Rush's job then, isn't it?
Well, there you go.
Same at Richard Fewley's Huddersfield.
Is Tommy Lee a St Helens player? I'm asking a question.
Mm-hmm. No. Well,
it's a fair question.
McArthur Scarsbrook nowadays. Have you ever seen him pass the ball?
No. No. The winger in the centre on his side might as well not bother going out. Yeah. Every time he gets the ball, he just runs back. 45-degree angle, you know where he's going.
Well, I'd say, Phil, when you look at that St Helens squad, they should be seventh. You know, they should be in the top four.
Should they be in the top four?
Yeah, they should.
We said before the start of the season that we expected Cass to be up there, we expected Wigan to be up there. Admittedly, we expected Warrington to be up there.
So you're talking about maybe Hull.
So did we ever expect Saints to be anything other than a mid-table team
this
year?
But we expected them to compete, and at the moment... It's just not good enough. It's not good enough, Phil.
Is any other coach going to get any more out of them with the squad that he's got to work with?
The first thing he'll do is get them to play rugby. They've got some very good players. Well, the likes of Makinson and Percival.
Farge and Smith could be a really good half-back combination, but they haven't had a chance to really show it yet.
I'll tell you what, though, and maybe a bit harsh this on Kieran, but one thing for sure, there's going to be one kid who'll be delighted maybe that Kieran's got the bullet, and that's Ewan Richardson.
I guess that is one of the arguments of some of the fans that I've seen on social media, that they're producing academy quality youngsters who don't seem to get into the first team. There seems to be a bit of a blockage there.
Yeah, but I would imagine young Richardson, he may be pretty... Well, I would imagine maybe some of the other centre players might be delighted as well, to be honest with you.
But also,
we think, which I don't understand at times, because I know me, when I was coaching Huddersfield, and I can reassure you here, guys, it was very, very frustrating, because...
You can't have been that frustrating. You're only there about 3 weeks, weren't you?
Well, that's, you know, let me just be serious. I can be serious for a while.
Can you?
From time to time.
When's that? It's five past eight.
It gets so frustrating, you know, but you're told all the time, you can't slag the players off in public.
I think the word we use is criticise. Well, on the radio.
Well, whatever. Well, criticising, right? But you can only protect the player so much. And how many times?
Stop banging the desk.
Because I get passionate about it, Matt. Right? The players
Hit
have
Phil the, then the, is the, the productive.
The players have got Kieran the sack from then. At times, he protects his players too much. Instead of saying, "My players aren't good enough." My players are absolute playing rubbish. We know the instance with John Wilkie kicking the ball, you know, and that's just one instance from there.
Is the problem that Kieran's given him license to do that? It protects his players too much and they've got in the sack. Take a breath. He did criticise the players. The one young kid that's finding his way in the game.
And then we see Wilkin kick the ball out on the second tackle, never gets a mention.
Yeah. So maybe that's something he needs to learn.
That's man management, though, isn't it? Nowadays it's all about man management, because we all know with the so-called egos, what we've got in this, it's all about man management. And if you do say to any player nowadays, I know me saying, me being an open, honest pundit, is that when you criticise anybody, you know, you're the bad boy. But we're only being open and honest. But if Kieran had been a little bit more open and honest, he might have got a better reaction from his players. And I tell you what, he'll be sat at home now thinking, I wish I would have done, to see what sort of reaction he would have got from his players.
Well,
do you think the timing's odd, going into Easter, the toughest part of the year?
I'll tell you what, Phil. Well, just going to say, guys, I'll tell you what, Phil, Sean Wayne will be shaking his head thinking, oh, no, Eamon, no, don't sack Kieran this week, make it next week, because he knows now the reaction we'll get from his St Helens players. We know the big derby from there. He would have preferred if Kieran had stayed another week, the way that St Helens are playing. He knows now it's going to be a reaction. St Helens players will want to put a marker down, and that'll just tell you, won't it, that they didn't want to play for Kieran, I guess, in the end. But we all know Sean will have his boys wound up. They know what a derby's all about from there. So it's all about a reaction from the St Helens players.
Good stuff. Everyone that gets in touch tonight via Facebook, via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page, or on Twitter, at RLOnRY or at Radio_Yorkshire, you will be entered to win 2 tickets for Wakefield against Wigan on Bank Holiday Monday. Keep your interaction coming in. Rich is working his way through. If we don't get to you all, we don't leave you out on purpose. Let's have a look what's going on.
John Davidson pretty much summed up what Scotty said about Jason Taylor and falling out with players. Nigel says, sad about Casey. I was looking forward to the grump-off between him and Wayne on Friday, so I'm sadly going to miss out on that. Maggie says, get Kieran Cunningham on Radio Yorkshire with you lot as a guest. You can all wear headphones to show solidarity. Yeah, we haven't got enough Maggie, they've all got missing.
They're all broken. They're all broken because Scotty keeps banging the desk.
Someone snuck in the middle of the night and broke them all. We don't know who it is. Steve says, thank goodness we had someone ask Cunningham proper questions. Every other report asked him how his bone brew was getting on. Oh, dear. Kev's in, and Kev's happy.
Kev is our
Kev's
finally
got Kieran what he Cunningham
wants. Kev's got what he wants. But what does Kev want now?
Well, I don't know. He says, let's be honest, Cunningham assigned absolute bobbins. Great use of the word. Peru, Owens, Lee, they're all dreadful. Then we've got Lou McCarthy, Scarsbrook, and Wilkin. And he says, not something very nice about them. Gaynor says, Kieran coached wrong. Five drives from the kick is not the Saints' way. Robert's asked if we're on next Monday. Yes.
Yes, we are. No rest for the wicked.
No. Adam says, Richard Agar, been at Warrington a few years under Tony Smith. Ty Carr, Mundo Firth, great name. Ian Watson, not mention him. Doing well at
just signed a new
Salford.
Contract, though.
I'll have to buy him off, then. So, yeah. And Chris says, I think he's being facetious. Sheens is far too boring for Saints. Don't give him the job. Rose will just have to keep putting up with scoring an average of 43 points per game until another team wants to take him off our hands. There's not
Bradford
too much...
Bradford used to do that to teams, mate, in the Championship. Look where they are now.
There's not too much... There's not much sympathy for Kieran Cunningham, it's fair. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but a lot of people who,
Well, Chris, who covers St Helens, our colleague in the media, Chris Price, says, no, Scoey, the players give 100% every game. It's Kieran's coaching quality that got him sacked. Poor tactics. They shut up shop, mate, at 14-0 on Friday. They shut up shop. It was equivalent in football of putting everyone behind the ball and saying, go on then, what have you got? And Huddersfield just had enough.
Which hints at fear, but is that from... the top or from the players themselves?
Well, I think even because you was asking the questions, Mark, and you could see Kieran were literally upset with that second half performance. But what I'm saying is here, even if they was told, listen, we're going to be conservative this second half, we're going to play five drives and the kick, they weren't very good at doing that, were they? Do you know what I mean? They wasn't very, very good at that. And when they're doing the five drives and the kick, did they rip in on the defence? Did they force any mistakes with the defence? Was that 100% commitment on the defensive point of view? I was at the game, you was at the game, you know, but did they rip in? Did they rip in? Were they really giving 100% on Friday night?
Isn't the real reason that the attendance was 9,000?
Because at the end of the day, they're not playing the St. Helens way.
They need it nearer 40.
They're not playing the St. Helens way. You know yourself, going back to the Leeds days, as I say, with Derrick's at Leeds, had to play with style. Mm. And unfortunately, Saints are doing that. And yeah, it's the results business. They're not in the place where they should be. But anyway,
Bill Coe's been on.
He loves this piece.
Big fan of you, he is Bill Coe. He said, only one man for Saints, Doug Lawn.
Get Bilko in the studio.
It was last week. You bottled it. Bilko, we're here. We're going to sort you out, but you didn't turn up.
Hold on. You wouldn't let me stay here. I didn't pass the head test. That's why you won't let me come in.
Well, we must have disobeyed medical advice to let you in today, then. It is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire every Monday night, 6 until 8 o'clock. We're here talking all things Rugby League. You set the agenda. You get in touch. Loads of you watching on Facebook tonight. We need to ask you to download the podcast. How do they do it, Rich?
Go to iTunes and search for Arrow and Our White. In fact, if you just go to our Twitter page,
Twitter.com/Arrow and Our White,
the link is up there, but I will find it and tweet it out there now. So make sure you get involved on the podcast. It's up every week. And
it basically is the show without the adverts.
Exactly. And on a Sunday, there's another podcast as well.
There is the extra time one.
Where yesterday you will have heard about Craig Murdoch's dislocated fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And
How funny was that? Was it Fekir Palasina's testimony?
It was great, wasn't it? You know, he kicked off and Craig Murdoch, you know...
In front of a bumper crowd.
Yeah, where pundits are supposed to know what we're talking about, we're supposed to be decent rugby league players. The kick-off, no pressure, comes to catch the ball, and the rugby ball catches him on top of his fingers, dislocates two fingers.
They were a mess as well.
Nearly breaks his wrist, and I spoke to Crutchy as well, and Crutchy said, Scoey, on the last 10 minutes, my body just seized up.
That's what 40 pints a weekend does for you, Gary.
Well, that's a steady way. That's solid.
That's probably a conservative estimate.
That's pre-match. That's pre-match, don't worry about that. But the Docky's fingers were absolutely black and blue, never mind his body.
Interesting one here. Now, I want to throw this one into the mix. Mm. It's come in from Andy, Claret and Gold, so I'm presuming he's a big Giants fan. Brett Hodgson for St Helens.
assistant at Widnes.
Well, I don't.
That's not a bad one.
I don't want an Aussie to get a top quality England job. There's plenty enough talent.
Been in
around.
The English game a long time now. I couldn't care
less. I couldn't care less. We've got plenty enough English
we
talent.
We've only got one Australian coach.
I'm not too bothered. I don't want an Australian getting a top job at one of our top Super League clubs. I want an English coach in there, and do it. And given the opportunity, that's what I want.
Steve McNamara.
Kieran, come back, son. All is forgiven.
Steve McNamara.
Who's English coach?
Last week, I wasn't allowed to come because I failed the head test.
I'm only throwing a name.
What do you want, Phil?
I'm only throwing
let's,
a name.
Let's,
in
let's
English.
Give
you
his
want an English coach?
Steve McNamara.
He's an English coach.
Well, what about the Born
so
of the League
Wallace Arnold, you're not going to give him the job.
What about the Born of the League Steve
place? I would give him. I'm just... saying it's not always necessarily about where the coach comes from.
Phil, listen, we have to sound as though we know what we're talking about on this show. Come on.
I didn't promote
give
him
your head a shake,
for
Phil.
The job.
Phil, give your head a shake. Okay.
He fits your criteria. I mean, you just want somebody who's English.
Hey, listen. I want a coach who wants to play the St. Helens way. Go out there, sling the ball about, score more points than the opposition, and everybody's happy. Simple as that. That's my philosophy.
Do you think it should be somebody who's got connections to St. Helens, though? Like Kieran? Or do you think they now need
to... I think it needs a new approach.
They need to go down the Daniel Anderson type road.
Part of the problem.
Well, there you go. Paul Rowley and Paul Cook. Paul Rowley, assistant coach. Paul Rowley, the head coach. And Cookie as the assistant. There you go.
Okay, fair enough.
Eamon, if you're listening, listen to the legend. He's not far wrong.
Moving on, swiftly.
Barry says, I wonder how Lamatazi feels after Cunningham told him to find a new club. Well, second in the league, I think he made a good choice.
Barry, you must be delighted. Salford flying. We will talk about them as well. I mean, that for me is the result of the season so far. Not that they won, but the manner of the victory. We'll plow through some more tweets and we'll get on with that in a moment.
Ian's asked about that one. I still think I'm dreaming watching Salford after Friday, and Barry again saying it's easier to get rid of one coach than 17 players who ain't performing. Poor Saints. Glad Ian Watson signed that new contract. So, yeah, a lot of love for Salford, which, you know, I think we've been on that bandwagon all season, haven't we?
So there should be.
I think we should ask the question on Twitter. Who do the fans blame? Cunningham or other players? All the recruitment.
We'll do a poll.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll do a quick poll, an hour's worth. You can get stuck into that on Twitter at RL on RY. Get your correspondence coming in on Facebook. Remember, we've got a couple of tickets to give away, courtesy of Michael Carter at the Wakefield Trinity Club, to watch Wakey against Wigan on Easter Monday. That should be an absolute belter. We will be here next Monday to pick the bones out of the Rugby League double header. Let's talk Salford. Brilliant win.
How good are they? You know, and how to say, when you watch that game against Sullivan, when you saw the try score and the ball movement, sensational. And again, then players go into that dressing room with a smile on their face. And when you look at the spine of the side, I know we look at the spine of the side now, full back, the two halfbacks, and the hooker. But the way that Robert Lewis playing, Michael Dobson looks as though he's gained 2 or 3 yards. And then Gareth O'Brien has certainly found his place now. And the forwards, they're just laying the foundation. But when you saw the ball movement, though, and let's take nothing away from here, you know, to go to the KCOM or the KC, whatever it's called nowadays, and to score 54 points against a whole side of what, third or fourth in the league. Okay, Hull have got a few players missing, but still a quality side. But the attractiveness of their rugby league is a pleasure. It's just a pleasure to watch. And it's, again, when you talk about a coach, when I talk about the coaching, but when you look at that, it's all about the man management. So when you talk about the man management, it's simple here. Everybody can't wait to come to training. Everybody's got a smile on their face. Everybody wants to be part of it. Everybody's mates. And when you saw that performance on Friday night and the tries, an absolute pleasure to watch. And I'll tell you what, Watto, keep doing it, son. OK, he's got Willie Poaching. I think he might do a little bit more on the defensive.
Willie Poaching and Martin Gleeson is a great team.
Yeah, and great team. Gleeson, quality centre himself, so he knows what attacking rugby league's all about. But Willie, I think he's more defensive point of view, so they've got the right
Willie,
balance.
Willie, not good enough full chaos going.
Well, there you go, Phil. There you go again. But anyway, the fact is now we've got Chris Chester and James Webster, who got the job, he wasn't even good enough. But anyway, that's another story. But when you look at the balance, what they've got, and I say, and as I keep saying about we halfbacks, it's exactly the same what they've got at Cass with Ben Roberts and Luke Gale. Mm-hmm. They're having 5 minutes on, 5 minutes off. I'll take the pressure off, I'll do something different. And it just confuses the opposition, certainly from a defensive point of view. But the ball movement from Salford, absolute pleasure to watch, and I just wish everybody would play the same.
Competition for places is
correct.
Key.
Yeah,
everybody
has
to be on their game every week. Michael Dobson looks like the kid that turned up at Catalan when they first were in the league.
Phil, he's never been a quick set, but now he looks as though he's put 3 yards of pace on, doesn't he? And Robert Louis, boy oh boy, how well is he playing?
And it also looks as though they've decided, or it's been decided between them all, who does what. And it's a comfortable relationship between them all. And it's not even so much about the time that they do. It's like, those are the things you can do. So you tell us where we need to be and I'll just give you the ball when we're 15 metres out and you plot a path for us. It's working. But also there's a guy prowling the touchline now who wants to get a part of that action. Bit like Castleford, you've got Ben Roberts saying to Rangi Chase, my job is to keep you off the pitch for as long as possible. And Rangi's prowling up and down with it, taking his top off, trying to tell his coach he wants to go on.
The same at Salford.
That's what I mean. What you've got is in the key positions competition. And I think the big success for them has been Gareth O'Brien, because we know that Robert Louis's good. He was the understudy to Jonathan Thurston, so he's never going to be a mug. We know how good Michael Dobson is. He's done it for Catalan. He saved Wigan getting relegated. We know what a quality player he is. For me, O'Brien is the one that's found his place, because he didn't even come as a fullback. And again, he was another a bit like Declan Patton, who perhaps was told that we're not sure if you're going to make it at Warrington, so you're a bit of a fringe player. You're in sometimes, you're out sometimes, you're playing this position, but you might be playing that one. He's gone to Salford. Suddenly they've realised that his best impact is from the back, viewing everything in front of him. And he is, we're blessed at the moment with some great fullbacks, but you wouldn't rule him out for the World Cup at the end of the year if you were picking the squad now. The game that's coming up at Samoa in a month, if you're serious about taking people that are in form, you'd have to be discussing Gareth O'Brien.
Well, Hardacre's playing well, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
but obviously at Castle there, but Salford, they're absolute pleasure to watch. And I say, Ian Watson, take a bow.
We should also pay tribute to the forwards, because the guys behind wouldn't be able to do it if Kopjak wasn't playing as well as he is. And Logan Tompkins, who gets
Murdoch Masalo, there.
Mark Flanagan as well has been great this year.
Well, that's been since the game started, 1894.
But they've got workers now.
Correct. Yeah, if the donkeys aren't doing the hard work, then the pretty boys, they can't do anything. But an absolute pleasure to watch. And I say, Ian Watson. And do you know, let's just say, from last year, what we're talking about now, 8 months down the line, 2 minutes away, literally from going to the Championship. That could have been the end of Salford. Two minutes away. We all know that's history.
I'm sure that's the galvanising factor, that the people are there don't want to be in that position again. They're doing everything they can to say, that was just so horrible. And we could have so easily been on the other side of that we don't ever want to be there again. And it's a real motivating factor.
I'll tell you what as well, Matt, we've mentioned that word a couple of times now, recruitment. They have made a very smart move at Salford by bringing Ian Blees as their chief executive.
Who's Salford through and through.
Correct. He knows the club inside out and outside in. Does that make sense? And he only wants people who want to do it the Salford way, whether it's on the field and off the field, wants you to be happy, a smile on the face. That's been a smart move bringing Blees in.
Well, don't we have to credit the good doctor with that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We criticised him for some of the money that we think he may have thrown away, but to get in that backroom staff, tie him to long contracts.
It's got to be a credit to himself as well for realising, do you know what, I don't really know a great lot about this game, so what I'm going to do, it's took me 3 or 4 years here to realise that. And,
it's took me a few million quid to realise that.
So he's took a backward step, and I can reassure you, I will be telling him at Chester Races on the 10th of the 11th of May just what a great job he's doing, as long as he keeps bringing the old, how do you do the plonk sound, Mark? How do you do it? As long as it keeps bringing on the Wednesday and the Thursday, I'll tell you what, Scoey and Mr. Wilson will be absolutely delighted. But no, Marwan, take a bow, son. You're the credit. You've let people who you've employed to do the job properly. They are doing the job properly. And what's delighting me, they're doing it the right way and they've got a smile on their face. Absolute credit.
Do we need to look at Hull, though? Because that's a really...
It's a blip, man. No, but it is.
But the issue is that when they don't have Danny Houghton, they look softer up the middle. They didn't have Gareth Ellis either. They didn't have Albert
Taylor.
Kelly.
They're missing probably four of their best six players. You take that out of any team in Super League, they're going to struggle.
Absolutely. Well, Leeds did at Castleford. It was exactly the same. You are going to get results like that. But Houghton isn't due back soon. I don't think he's another 5 weeks away.
Is it a calf, is it? Calf problem.
And do we know if Kelly's back yet? Because they certainly need him for the Easter programme. I know it was compassionate leave.
Any Hull fans out there, if you're listening, is Albert Kelly back in the country?
He needs to take as long as he needs if it's a compassionate leave. But is he going to be back? Because as you've said all along, look at their half-back pairing last week, then they're not going to score enough points.
No, they're not.
Jake Connor is not a standoff.
And I'll tell you what, I harp on about half-backs, but again, Dobson and Louis, Patton and Gidley, I'll tell you what, absolute sensational for me on Friday night, looking at Declan Patton. Got to keep him there, Tony, because one for sure here, Gidley looks far happier with Patton being there. And then at Castleford, with the halfbacks, what they've got. Tell you, coaches who want to promote the ball, coaches who want to play, smart attacking rugby league. Tell you what, who would rule out now then? Who would rule out? And I tell you what, I think it would be fantastic. The RFL might not be happy about it because it might not fill the stadium. But I tell you what a game of rugby league we'd see if it was Salford and Castleford in the grand final at Old Trafford.
Mm. Why wouldn't they sell it out? That's exactly what should sell it out, because all the neutrals would want to go and see this fabulous game of rugby league.
We should like to think so.
Will all the neutrals or English fans be playing to watch England on the... on the? We'll discuss that after seven, I'm sure.
I have asked on Twitter, so... All right,
okay. At RL on our way on Twitter, you can get in touch on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. Anyone and everyone that gets in touch, if you listen on the podcast, just drop us a message, a Facebook one, or get in touch on Twitter. You can enter the free draw, win two tickets for the game Wigan at Wakefield on Monday. And we need you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Yes. We want reviews of our podcast.
Review it. Be honest.
How would you review our podcast, Richard?
It's great, but I don't know if I'm allowed to do it.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, that's, I mean, that's not very expansive, is it?
I'm not a very good writer. If you see my scripts here for the news, you'll know that. But, you know, it's really good. There's lots of people getting involved.
I stayed awake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Scully, by the way, I forgot to ask you. Did you have a word with the lads from you know where? You know, a bit of just in case.
Listen, mate, they're on standby for 48 hours.
They're ready for the rumble.
They've had a quiet 72 hours.
I reckon you've got, you're safe.
Yeah. Okay. I tell you what, you know how I would describe us, if I was a bit of a writer, short and sweet, to be honest with you, we're like fingerprints. We're all different. That's us. That's how I would describe us. We're all fingerprints. We're all very different. There you go, boys. All different personalities.
Yeah.
Thought you were talking about me, short and sweet.
And like fingerprints, always get you in trouble, Scott.
Fingertips, I said. Fingertips.
Wow. Mark says, Salford have got everybody's cast-offs and rejects and made a team out of them, and they're playing as a team. It's great to watch after all the bad years you've had to put up with watching bad rugby.
Somebody did say, and I think it is a relevant question, if Salford got some injuries, they don't have a reserve grade, they don't have an academy. That would be your only worry.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, but also as well, how many other teams have academies and reserve grades?
They've got a very good side, have they got a very good squad? And that's just a reality.
And that does
question.
Need some, you know, you, when you're making your investment, you invest in players or infrastructure. And Salford have gone down the road at the moment of players, and you would hope that that doesn't come back to hurt them, but there isn't a lot underneath the guys that we're seeing at the moment on
well,
the field.
Well, when we're talking about this, no reserve grades and what have you, what do we go and do this week? Decide to up the salary cap, give average players even more money, rather than look after the development, which I'm delighted what Lee Breeze said in the League Express about this. Breeze slams financial changes. You know, everybody should have academy, everybody should have reserve grade, and, you know, we're upping the salary cap, and to be honest, with you know, I want the players to get what they can. It's only a short career, get what you can. But all that is going to do, we're talking about marquee players. How many marquee players have we got? One, maybe two. We're talking about it now that we can have 24. Everybody could have two marquee signings, so what a waste of money that would be. But for mine, upping the salary cap is just going to give average players more money. Good luck to them. But we should be looking more at the development. Great piece by Lee Breers.
Lee Breers, the players wouldn't have that opinion, would he? If he was going to get Absolutely. More money, I'm not saying he was an average player, by the way, but he would have been having his hand in that.
No, but Mark, now...
I think he's mixing two issues. I don't think they're related. I don't think the salary cap and a reserve grade are related in any way whatsoever. The reserve grade is about, do we have enough players playing the game of quality? And we go back to what we were talking about last week. St Helens put out a reserve grade that had five Hull KR players in it because they couldn't fill the team. Steve Gill was here the other week, sat here and said, I can't run a reserve grade because I can't afford to go down to Lock Lane and take players from there who I know aren't ever going to be good enough to play Super League because it kills Lock Lane. The issue about reserve grades and academies are about we don't have enough players of quality playing the sport. The salary cap is something else. That's about retaining what we've got and potentially attracting other players. Now, that isn't for everybody. Now, Michael Carter has been one of the most vociferous critics of the raising the salary cap because of the way he's running his business model at Wakefield, which you can do nothing but admire. But he's also counteracted rejecting his own argument, because his team that is being played £100,000 less than every other team in Super League under the salary cap happens to be sitting fifth at the moment. So he's disproving the fact that it's all about money. It can't be all about money, because Sam Tompkins is sat on the sideline watching games and not playing in them, but he's being paid as a marquee player. It gives some clubs the tools to go out and attract players. Yeah, Warrington will use it. Yeah, unquestionably.
But also as well, though, two points here, what Lee Breeze is saying, Phil, right, under-19s, they're being told, you're not good enough, so you're going in the scrap heap.
There are not enough players who are good enough. That's the problem.
We
haven't got enough players coming through that are going to play at a first-grade level.
How do we know that when there's not reserve grade comps?
There's a huge drop-off at under-16s before you even get to 19s. Right. There are not enough people being...
To have great players
coming out the top, you've got to funnel them in at the bottom. And what the problem, I think the opponents of a reserve grade, and I don't think it is solely about the money it would cost to run a reserve grade, because it isn't a lot. It's that, who do you fill those teams with? There's going to be a really interesting issue over Easter about dual registration. Are all of the players that are out on dual reg from Super League teams going to be called back, because the Super League sides need squads at this time of the year? Not just for the two games, but for the third one after it, which is a cup tie. For some clubs, they won't want to have their players cup tied. And the fourth game, and then you're leading into Magic, and then you're leading into another double weekend. So if all the dual reg players came back and they weren't playing for Bradford and Featherstone and Rochdale and Oxford, what are those teams going to look like? How many players of quality are we going to have playing? And it's not a lot, and it certainly isn't enough. And money doesn't change that.
Fair enough. Richard?
I was going to wind up a few more comments, which everyone's going on about 101 different things. Louise is a Salford supporter. She says that Ian Bleese is a masterstroke and inspirational in everything he does. He's honest, hardworking, and knows his sporting club inside out. What he does often goes unnoticed.
And so's Louise, because she championed Salford's cause when they weren't as good as they are now, and she's been one of their staunchest fans.
And it's good
I'm really pleased for her.
Yeah, it's good that those fans who have been through thin
stood,
are getting some thick.
Really stood by them when they were struggling.
More potential St Helens coaches. Sheila says, what about John Keir? And that playing back out cast round. Terry says, Dennis Betts, not a bad shout for Saints. Terry might be a witness one, I don't know. George also says Dennis Betts. And sticking a big old grenade in the debate is Jamie, who says, give Darryl Powell an open checkbook, name his price, he will get them winning. Cheers,
he wouldn't go. He's having far too much fun. Again, having spoken to him on Friday night, that result and the manner it was achieved, it made him the proudest man in the country.
Castleford favourites to win Super League now.
You remember
when you called me bonkers, Scott?
Yeah,
Scott?
You're happy.
Remember? Do you remember that?
I'm just looking across there. Yeah, we've had it out. Yeah, yeah. And,
good.
No, it's going great. I'm delighted.
No, you're not. You want me to fail miserably.
No, I don't.
Scott has asked, are they capable of the treble after that big statement result?
Yeah, you wouldn't rule it. You wouldn't rule it out. Yeah, I tell you what.
Well, injuries, the draw. All big things.
Let's reassess after Easter Monday. Will be a really good show, because we'll be able to sit down and see what everybody's got.
Yeah.
As Wakefield, with those two wins, sit proudly top of Super League.
Go on, Rich. Go on.
Get in.
He's bonkers. Sure, he's bonkers, isn't he? That'll burst
the Castleford bubble then.
I tell you what, though, when you we look at that derby, obviously there's a Wigan Saints derby, but Cass and Wakefield, I'll tell you what, Rich, I reckon that's going to be quite tasty, to be honest with you.
It's going to be full house
down there at the jungle.
In form should be a belter.
Yeah.
You know, you'd expect Castleford will win.
But you know what, Rich? And I said, yeah, I hope the Wakefield forwards are listed, to be honest with you, because 3 weeks ago we was looking forward to a very tasty derby, wasn't we, against the Leeds Rhinos. And as we all know, the Wakefield forwards didn't turn up against Leeds. But I'll tell you what, this is your derby. This is your derby against Castleford forwards, as we know, how well they play. Junior Moores and big Jesse himself. You look at the way Adam Milton...
Don't call him a big Jesse. I can't
pronounce his surname, so I just call him Jesse, don't I?
But what is his name?
How powerful is he? You look at the lad Springer. You look at the way that he's ripping in. You look at the way Adam Milner's ripping in for the forwards.
Well, and just a word about Springer. A couple of weeks ago, left out Darryl Powell, said he's not playing well enough. You're in the team.
This is what I'm going to come on to, Mark. It's all about consistency and performance. So Whitford for sure here now, Wakefield forwards. OK, the big derby against Leeds 3 weeks ago, you didn't turn up. Tell you what now, Wakefield forwards, this is a test for you. This is a test for you, because I can reassure you here now, because, as I say, with the big derby, them Castleford forwards, they're going to rip into you. And I tell you what, Wakefield forwards, get ripped into them, because we all want to see a quality, quality West Yorkshire derby.
Is this the most eagerly awaited derby, Rich, from your point of view? For a long time, I mean.
Well, since you'd think the original not really million-pound game, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
because,
maybe.
You know, Cass have been up there and Wakefield have been... And now Wakefield are on the up and Cass are on the up. And at least it's a positive, isn't it? It's not two teams fighting over relegation. It's two teams fighting.
In the top five.
At the top end of the table.
But the jungle's going to be rammed, isn't it? Well, atmosphere is going to be. It's going to be absolute rammed, you know. So hopefully, I hope you're listening, Michael, that the Wakefield forwards rip in, because the Cass forwards are going to do that. They've got two good back lines, half-backs. But very much creativity. Tom Johnson. Well, I'll tell you what, if Tom Johnson's not picked for England to play against Samoa, well, I don't know how much the kid's got to do, because he is sheer quality. But I'll tell you what, I am absolutely looking forward to a belter between Cass and Wakefield on Friday afternoon.
It's easy to think of him, you know, when he was starting his career, he's just got speed. But now he's a really good rugby league player as
well.
Yeah,
he is, yeah.
He's starting to develop.
Hey, Rich, you're a Wakefield fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rich is going for top try scorer. Yeah. He's getting excited.
But Rich, as a Wakefield fan, I ask you the question, how long can he keep on to him? And the big boys will be sniffing around.
He's got a long contract, hasn't he?
The contracts are worth nothing nowadays. We know that, you know.
Well, at least he's
you're not saying he's going to retire, Scotty, are you?
I don't think he would retire and play for a team in the same competition.
Why would I say he's going to retire? I was a kid. He's only 21, 22, isn't he? But
you wouldn't be surprised.
When I was sat with my other half yesterday in the dock, and he's his agent, and he was like that, just shaking, rubbing his hands. But I knew what he meant. Yeah, I'm delighted.
Tom Johnson could.
Hold on, he had a broken hand, and he had cake in the other hand.
And a cup of coffee, trying to drink that. But I tell you what, though, and when we was mentioned about Tom playing for England, and he said, yeah, I hope he plays there, because I'd be like that on Mr. Carter's door.
Well,
Michael, contract.
There's a chance.
Contract, Michael.
There's a chance, if there isn't a spot for England this time, he could play for Scotland in the World Cup and then transfer
somebody
to England.
He's born in Germany.
Interesting spot to Ollie Roberts today. Very excited about the prospects of representing Ireland at the World Cup.
It means a lot to so many people.
Keen as...
Oh, why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you be? To play in a World Cup in Australia?
Yeah.
I would hope, if Tom Johnson's future isn't at Wakefield, that at least with the salary cap increases with marquee players or whatever, we can keep him in our sport, because as we've seen with the fella from Castleford, if you're a talented winger in rugby league, you can pretty much go.
Isn't that what the salary cap modifications are about? 25 bags of sand from the AFL.
I'll tell you what then, the way Tom Johnson is, and obviously where if you want to keep Tom Johnson, you want to keep your best players. Yeah. Some players at other clubs are being given money from the RFL to keep him there. Mm-hmm. Why can't the RFL say to Michael, hey, listen, you want help with Johnson, we'll give you 50 grand for him.
So well, the RFL have actually rung us up and asked if we want help with you. They said they'd give us 25 grand to take you off the radio.
You turned it down, didn't you?
I said, just give us 10, that'll do.
He's a future England international winger, but it's up to the RFL to make sure he's a future international winger in our code rather than their code.
Very good. There you go. Richard getting past it. Are you happy with the developments on the ground, Rich? Obviously.
There's talks.
I think
politicians are getting involved.
Yeah, I think
Are we coming up to election time again?
Ooh.
Shouldn't Richard be on the Stadium Trust Committee with comments?
I'll tell you about Newmarket, and I'll say it again, I'll believe it when I'm in it. Like, I've seen enough false dawns.
I think there's been two really interesting long pieces of journalism in the national press that have brought this to the attention, that it can't be ignored. I think we mentioned Jeremy Cross's piece last week, but I think there was an even better follow-up by Ian Herbert in The Independent. And it's going into detail about who is responsible, and politicians don't like having the fingers pointed at them. So I think there has been movement, and I think Michael Carter's played it incredibly well to actually get the right people around the table now.
Interesting. Lots going on social media. We'll get through as much of it as we can. Keep it coming. And if we miss you out, we're not avoiding you on purpose. If you don't swear, we will try and read everything out. Unless it's aimed at Scotty, then we'll prioritise that. But you can get in touch on Twitter, at RL on RY. You can get in touch on Facebook, the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. Again, if you're listening, please share it with your friends. The listeners' figures are going up every week. The podcast figures are going up every week. You want us to talk about stuff, you tell us what you want to talk about. We're here every Monday, 6 until 8. Let's get through. We've got around about a minute before we break for the news. What's going on in the world of social media, Richard?
John says the Bulls are still on the march, minus two now.
They are, big win against Sheffield.
Good win for them yesterday. Charlotte says, where's Mr. Fifita? Sounds so much better than the Wakefield forwards. Stephen says, best forward at Wakefield at the moment, Dean Hadley, couple of tries for him on Friday, and signed up for another month on loan from Hull. Hull probably need him. Lots of people wanting to talk about Ben Westwood. We will talk about that.
Are you not going to read Lisa's text out? Who said
Johnson to replace Briscoe at Leeds?
Yeah. Oh, you'd love that if you went to Leeds, wouldn't you, Rich?
Judas straight on there. Boo. Tomo. All that kind of thing. All that's going on.
Gary voted against the salary cap.
Yeah, lots of people about the salary cap. Jamie's asked us about Jordan Lilly, although
he'll be back at Leeds for the Easter period.
And Lisa, I think Scully answered your question about Declan Pattle. Should Warrington play Kevin Brown after Pattle's display? No.
Nope, simple as that. Declan Pattle stays there for mine.
Fair enough, enough. Anything more?
Louise said, I wonder if Sean Long will be made a head coach as a cheap and quick fix at Saints.
I think it needs a whole new approach.
You'd think they'd spent the weekend thinking about that to make this announcement today.
Yeah. Conour Widnes friend saying Brett Hodgson will be their next head coach. Works wonders for our youth, regularly producing England internationals.
I think there's a lot of people impressed with him. And he was a very, very good player as well. And he was a back as well, Scott. I know he's Australian, but he was a back, so you've got to like
and
that.
Brave.
Yeah, brave, yeah.
So was I. I was a back and brave, a good player, but I didn't last long.
You were a rubbish coach. Let's be fair. Let's not mess
about.
It's
a bit harsh.
Let's not mess
it up.
This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. Keep your interactions coming in. Keep sharing with your friends. Keep watching. Keep getting in touch. We will be back in just a few moments' time. Live Rugby League, the Giants and the Dragons. And then the big one on Friday, Cass Wakey. Live on Radio Yorkshire.
Proper sport at 6 on Radio Yorkshire. If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire. The only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire every Monday night, 6 until 8. If you missed part of the show, you can download the podcast. Head over to iTunes, search out Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire at RL on RY. You can get in touch tonight on Twitter at RL on RY. You can get in touch on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. Lots and lots of you doing that. If you are listening, please share it. Anyone who interacts with the show tonight, chance to win two tickets for Wakefield against Wigan on Easter Monday. Scoey's here. He's a T-boy now. He's getting some sticks, Scoey. People wanting to know if he's going to get stuck into Ben Westwood. I'm sure we will in the next hour. The floor, listener, is yours. You know how this show works now. You get in touch. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. This is no party political broadcast. It's an open house. Phil Kaplan, editor of 4020 magazine, is here. Richard Shawright, seeker of truth and justice in Wakefield Council, is here. And Gary Schofield, the legend, is here. He's here as well. You can catch him on The Last Tackle once we've edited out all the bits that he's been
Tom's
said.
Tom's just doing that at the moment.
Tommy's just doing that at the minute.
He's got
the hardest job
Thursday.
In show business. Yeah.
Why? What do you want to edit out?
Well, we'll discuss it off air later. Where do you want to start, Richard?
Westwood.
Right, we're talking Westwood, and what have we had in on Twitter?
Regarding Ben Westwood, a few on this one. Richard says, an old-fashioned stiff arm from Westwood on the kicker. Leighton, he knew what he was doing. That's Richard's opinion. Straight red, discuss. Carlos says, take a look at the tackle in slow motion. You'll see he connected with Sutcliffe's shoulder with his arm, not his head, nor late. Not sure about that.
Has he got some of them glasses on that you used to have?
Well, I tell you what, honestly, first of all, I'd like to... A couple of questions here. Because we saw the week before, didn't we, the Brett Phillips incident on Gildar. First of all, have referees bottled situations where they're frightened to send players off instead of... and to put him in the sin bin, because certainly with the Brett Ferris fan. Let me just say this as well, regarding the crucial tackles, and the cannonball tackle seems to have gone out of it at this moment in time, and the chicken wing, I guess there was a little bit there when we saw Kynost on Dallow Clark a little bit, but and I guess that wasn't really picked up, but well, it has
got a grade eight.
Yeah, Kynost has got to answer to that, but and I say with that crucial tackle and say with injury from there, if anybody's, because to stop this sort of thing happening, and then I say with what Westwood did as well on Friday night, and is prevention. So it's quite simple. The RFL and the disciplinary committee should have set disciplinary measures and set times on what these sort of tackles deserve for suspension. And for mine, the crusher tackle, and Ferris, OK, he got 6 games, but for mine, that crusher tackle there, that is 12 months. And when you look at the tackle, and we talk about player welfare here, and we're all harping on about the concussion situation, yeah, Benny Westwood, quite simple. The referees have bottled it, but Benny Westwood on Friday night should have got sent off straight away. There's no hesitation about that, and that, for mine, is an 8-match suspension. That's what Ben Westwood should get for that. Prevention is the cure. And the longer you give it, they'll stamp it out. Players won't do it again. Simple as that.
And the fact that he's been given a grade D tells you he should have been sent off.
Yeah.
Well, that he should have...
But also, I won't be second here. You can go on, but...
No.
We all point, but... The amount of respect I have for Tony Smith, not just as a person, but as a coach. And for Tony to say what he said from there, you know, regarding that incident, you know, I found it a little bit... Well, that's not like you, Tony, whatsoever, from there. And, you know, the great job what he's done, whichever clubs that he's been at there, and the respect I have for him as a person, I say, not just as a coach. You know, realistically, that was not... Because Sutcliffe, he was going to be one of their major players. Mm-hmm. He was going to be the player who was going to be the major kicking game. Yeah, McDermott says the kicking game was pretty poor. Yeah. Sutcliffe couldn't come off. Westwood, for mine, he should get 8 games.
Can I ask a question? Are all rugby union games, do they all have a TMO?
I wouldn't know.
I don't think they do.
No, only the televised ones.
Because they use the TMO to send players off for incidents like that. So why could that not have been referred to the TMO?
We were talking about this before.
Or the video referees.
Well, this is what I'm saying about officials. Are they bottling it, man?
Well, Stephen has asked that question.
Well,
you know,
but I think there is another issue that we'll see on the last tackle and that you just mentioned there, that, yes, it's only televised games, and I appreciate that not everybody has the same access to televised games in terms of the number of times they are on television. But when somebody is sent to the sin bin for 10 minutes, there is a chance for that to be reviewed, and you could turn a yellow card into a red. I don't see there's any reason why you couldn't do that. We're not talking about interfering with the game as it's going on. We're not slowing anything down. What we're saying is, let's have a look at that incident in the 10 minutes we've got where the player we know isn't coming back on the pitch, and if it is deemed, from however many angles you need to look at it, that it's far more dangerous than it looked at the time when we only gave it 10 minutes, then that becomes, you can't bring that player back. Now, it would have happened, I think, in the Ferris case, because word went down to the sidelines, it's a crusher tackle. Mm-hmm. Well, I think if it's been identified as a crusher tackle and somebody's had a look at it over 10 minutes and it is, the player doesn't come back. If it's been a high, late challenge from Ben Westwood that is now graded at, what, between 3 and 5 matches as a punishment, it obviously happened. It can't have been on the shoulder, because the match review panel have deemed that it was late and high. Can we not look at that within the confines of, you've got 10 minutes to review that, and the word then goes down to both teams on the touchline, it's not a yellow card, it's been changed to a red. The issue will be, I say not every game is televised, that you brought up the TMO, he can give an opinion in rugby union. I just think if we're serious about duty of care of our players, and again, not penalising the team against whom the offence has been committed, because in the same way that Leeds benefited from Bet Ferris coming back on, Leeds have been denied an interchange for 79 minutes of a game because Ben Westwood is now going to get banned, but it's going to be against teams other than Leeds. So should we have the ability in televised games to change a card colour?
Well, surely we're all in agreement Westwood should have been sent off, shouldn't he?
Yeah, well, even
from
the discipline...
I didn't witness the game. I saw it afterwards. It looked to me a shocking...
Oh, it was, you know, and I say, referees, you know, they're bottling it where, you know, they're trying to send people off.
They may not see it, and they may not get a lot of help from their touches.
You must
see that. But what I'm saying is, it happens, a lot of these things happen so quickly, and I'm not going to defend it because I haven't looked at it from James Charles' point of view, but he's turning his back because Sutcliffe's getting a kick away. So he's not in a position to stand and look at the kicker. His job is to watch the ball as it's going downfield. It should be that he's touch judge, who should be detailed to be watching what happens to the kicker, could be coming on and saying, look, that's a really bad one.
I'll tell you what's
wrong. What they're doing is saying, I don't know how bad it was, guy watching it on the sidelines can tell you.
I chuckled to myself as well, because Chris Hill went to James Child, the referee, and says, what are you giving that for? It's the first minute. It doesn't matter if it's the first minute or the 79th minute. It was high, it was late, and it copped in... They'd sit around the head.
And it changes the balance of your whole team.
Sport Leeds' game plan.
Forwards have got to stay on for longer, do more work.
Well, he was going to be the big part of their kicking game.
And he might have pulled a hamstring in the warm-up. So you have to cope with stuff like that. But the not having the ability to interchange your players as you'd want to, that does take its time.
I'll tell you what as well, though. When Benny Westwood, flattened Sutcliffe, he looked at Child and was thinking... Oh, no. And then when he pulled the yellow card out, you could see the relief on Benny's body thinking, oh, I think I've got away with that one. He knows himself. And I say, what do you say? He's a grade E, so he's going to get between
D,
three...
D.
So he's going to get between three and five games. But, again, prevention is the cure to all this. The RFL and the disciplinary committee say, listen, if these sort of tackles are going on, from the crusher tackle, the cannonball tackle and the chicken wing. For mine, they are 12-month suspension. You will not see that they will wipe it out. And the sort of tackles, lay and high, around the head, that sort of tackles for mine, it's 8 matches. It stops it. Simple as that. Stops it.
Well, especially when we're going on about concussions all the time.
Stops it. So, answer to the question from
Sutcliffe
the...
did have a headache afterwards, but he did say that he hoped with a 7-day turnaround he'd pass the head test in midweek and could be available on Friday.
Tracy says Westwood's card should have been changed to red when Sutcliffe couldn't come back for the rest of the game. Stevens says, should the ref get demoted for only giving a yellow?
Well, refs anymore. Ben Thaler was.
He was at Featherstone yesterday. Yeah. So.
Although he was the video ref at Warrington and could have changed that card if we had that system.
The Westwood incident, says Daniel, has taken the heat off McDermott and a poor team selection. Burrow is now an impact player, not a starter, especially at nine. He says. There's a few other people who've been...
Matt Parcell came off the bench and made 58 tackles. He has been... In fact, he is the leading tackler in Super League. You're coming up to Easter, you do rotate your players. You have to rotate your players.
A few people have been... There's a name that's coming up. I'm not going to dig out a young player, because I don't think that's fair, asking whether he should or shouldn't be in the Leeds Rhinos team. And you can, say I'm bottling it if you're on at home, but I don't think we should dig out young players.
No, I don't think we're here not to do that.
Are we happy with the way Brian McDermott is using his young players, the ones that he sends out on loan and the ones that he doesn't? I'll put it that way.
It's the problem with the dual registration and loan system, isn't it? Mikel Aletsky shouldn't have been playing for Featherstone yesterday.
He looks a player, doesn't he?
But he's earmarked to be making his Leeds first team debut, possibly.
How big is 18?
Yeah.
He's about 20 stone, 6'7".
From Gdansk. Genuine pole.
Yeah, if he'd have wanted some of your cake score yesterday, you'd have given him a piece, wouldn't you?
Certainly, he'd have asked us twice, don't worry about that. I wouldn't have given it easy.
The second time you'd have been answering from the roof.
Claw it out of your hand.
Hold on, let me tell you this. Man Beninga couldn't do it, so Man Beninga couldn't do it, so don't worry about that. I can reassure him from Belial. Don't worry about that, son.
Give it
But
a
no, hey, listen, yeah, he's an absolute beast, and he certainly made an impression and impact at Featherstone yesterday. He did indeed.
But he shouldn't have been playing. He wasn't originally in the squad, and Featherstone have got an injury crisis, so
why shouldn't he be playing? Because he's not playing at Leeds.
No, he was in the Leeds 19 for the Warrington
game. Yeah, but he can only play 17, not 19.
I think he will make his debut over Easter, probably against Widnes on Easter Monday.
Yeah, but why shouldn't he play for Featherstone? Because he had no game time.
He wasn't originally in the Featherstone 19.
It's another
of these accommodations, which doesn't work.
Well, we should just scrap that 19-man squad thing anyway, shouldn't we?
Should do is name 21 and say, that's it, there's no one else can play. That's your 21.
Yeah. Well, there's talk in Australia of having 18 instead of 17, and the 18th man is available for concussion injuries.
I like that.
And possibly, if the concussion guy can't come back, then your 18th man becomes...
So you don't lose an interchange.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, that is a good idea. That's clever. That's clever.
But, of course, you need a bigger salary cap to do that.
Phil, give it a...
Because you need more players.
Why? It could be like, what does the 18th man do now? Don't he get paid?
He brings the bottles on and gets in the way. We could have, like, baseball with a designated hitter. We could have a designated concussion marquee player who just comes on, you know, every once in a while.
We have a designated hitter. Can I go first or Scully? Where's that baseball bat, actually?
Charlie says... Not Charlie, that thing off the...
What, he said
thing.
Put some barbed wire on the baseball bat?
He says, Phil, he was in the Featherstone 19. Missy Talapapa wasn't in, but now he's got his visa.
Yes, right. Great as well. Great. Were they yesterday, weren't we?
Somebody enjoyed it. Certainly, Joanne, thank you very much. A little bit disappointed still, you know, certainly about the gourmet burger and cheese, but the cake was very nice and, yeah... Very, very much appreciated.
But
I'll tell you what, though, Mark Campbell, myself and the doc, my other half, we was wanting a nice cup of tea.
The other half.
There was no milk. We had no milk. You know, so you had to have a dark coffee and a dark tea. So, Mark, I know you're a great bloke and what have you, and doing a great job at Featherstone. Hey, I tell you what, it was great entertainment there. You see all the kids down there and what have you.
They're having a good time, weren't they?
They're doing some great work with the community. But, Mark, come on. Surely you've got a few quid for a pint of milk. Thanks, Mary.
David points out, part of the exciting things down at Featherstone, Percy the Pit Pony had more pace than Scully, says David.
Hey, hold on, Featherstone fans. Yeah. I remind you a couple of times, going scoring interceptions down there at Post Office Road, and I remind you of the interception. Where are you down at Anfield?
I've turned him off. No one's listening. No one's listening, Gary. No one's listening. No one's listening.
1995 in the semi-final, Featherstone fans. Yeah, tell you what.
Well, David asked if you think they'll finish in the top four. Well, it was a good result for them yesterday.
Featherstone, nailed on, without a doubt.
Like I said, they've got a few injuries at the minute.
Unless London reverse their slide, then yes, they will be in the top four, because London are struggling.
I tell you what, London were absolute rubbish yesterday, Phil. Absolute rubbish, they were. Take off away from Featherstone.
They've got some injuries, but
they played all right. But when you looked at that team, there's enough quality in there, and no, they were rubbish. Simple as that. And some couple of London fans came on yesterday, Richie will tell you, know, and saying, Scoy, you're saying London's rubbish. Well, listen, at the end of the day, and I say it many, many times, I'm not putting spin on things. London were absolute rubbish yesterday.
Andrew Henderson would have agreed with
And you. I can only... Well, actually, to be honest with you, Andrew, in the League Express, when I read his comment, he's saying, my players give 100% effort. Well, I was thinking, you must have been watching a different game to me then. Must have been, because it was poor.
I've got any gaffers here. I'm going to take your hands to the desk.
And it was, and as I say, again, I repeat myself, it was rubbish. But I can only comment on what I see. I don't make things up. So if you London fans are a little bit upset on what I'm saying, well, if you had to sit there for 80 minutes and watch it, I'll tell you what, you would have been agreeing as well. But because Mr. Hughes was sat in front of me, boy, oh boy, first time I've ever seen him, because Steve over there with Ian Proctor and the London director, and first time I've ever seen David Hughes, and boy, oh boy, I tell you what, he was passionate, very, very passionate, and you making some lovely comments to Gary.
It was only costing him a minute.
Well, I saw how passionate you got with the free hospitality on Saturday when you had to dig in your pocket and spend £4 on a pint. How many pints has he bought at London?
How did Steve O look?
Yeah, looks all right.
I thought he looked all right yesterday.
Because he's been poorly, so yeah, it's good,
yeah,
good
yeah,
to
yeah,
know
it,
that...
It looks all right. But, yeah, but Mr. Hughes, I tell you what, certainly enthusiastic. Mm. Certainly enthusiastic. And, boy,
20 million quid's worth of enthusiasm.
If the London fans could have heard his comments, what he was saying about the team, I'll tell you what, they'd have been thinking, I'll tell you what, Scott, you're a bit light on us.
Yeah, we had a big debate yesterday about what is the south of England, because I said Oxford's in the south. And I was pulled up on this by Michael, but we looked on a map and it's below Birmingham, so it is in the south, Oxford. And
even I know that. I wasn't very good at geography at school, even I know that.
Southerners trying to educate us on geography, but great result for Oxford yesterday, beating York. Max Jowett's going to try, Wakefield at the end of there. And, you know, we were told here, Paul says Johnson's going nowhere, he will win trophies with Wakefield, and people are laughing at him. But he will, because we're going to send him on Joel Reg to Oxford, and he'll win the League One Cup, which is coming back to Wakefield. So, here's that, Paul.
Are you going to commandeer it? Is that what you're going to do?
Right, on the shield, they've got the Yorkshire Cup. We're taking the League One Shield Cup trophy thing.
You've got to let it go, Rich. It's a long time ago, mate. Just let it go.
That?
Yorkshire no Yorkshire Cup.
Bring back the Yorkshire Cup. I keep telling you, the Christmas fixtures.
Well, if they could find it, they would.
Yeah. Keep telling you, bring back the fixtures. They all play friendlies over Christmas. Hmm. Bring back the county cups. It would be absolute sellout. Bring back the county cups.
So, are we in? Let's just quickly round up Ben Westwood. Then, what do you think he'll get, Richard?
Four.
Okay. Phil.
Yeah, that's about right with his. Yeah, with his past record. I presume he's got past no EGP. So, yeah, probably Phil.
Past record, Phil. She'll get 6 months. Bam, you know what I mean? But for mine, it's an 8-gamer, but he'll get 4. It's an 8-gamer.
Is this a new prediction competition?
Yeah. Who's up before the disciplinary?
Well, listen, prevention's a cure. It's as simple as that. It is.
Okay. Stephen has sent a very nice message in.
What would you give him?
I would have given him more than 40. It's just one of them, you got away with it this time. What happens if Brexit's your whatever? You just don't know. There's no need. Players get injured enough playing the game fairly without anything like that. So for me,
the game's hard enough the way
I would ban tackling the kicker. They did it in the NFL. You're not allowed to touch the kicker. If you do, it's a penalty.
That's a good call.
I would look at that.
I'd buy into that.
We're changing all the rules today.
Yeah.
Stephen says, I'm a Cast fan who couldn't stand Schofield, but he talked sense. I've just been watching Great Britain vs Australia in 1986, and he was one class player. Respect is there. Come on, you four.
Hold on, why couldn't he stand me? Why?
Well, because he's from Castleford and he played for Leeds.
We all hate Leeds. People forget this.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, you know, I could have signed for Castle, joining one of me, and they could have. It was the contract fee was okay, but the transfer fee. But I nearly joined Castle in '92. Yeah. I would have loved to have played for John Joyner. John Joyner would have been my sort of coach, wouldn't he? You know what I mean? The class player he was. Yeah, I would have been happy to go down that Weldon Road, to be honest with you.
Hmm. Joseph says, Scotty thinks out south of Bellevue is the south.
Belle Isle.
I can't read. Yeah. It's a problem today.
It is South Leeds, isn't it? Yeah. That? South. Yeah, very good.
You guys asked, how's Sneed doing now? Apparently had a good,
He had 10 minutes in the sim, didn't he?
Any more? We'll talk what you want to talk about. If you are listening, remember, anyone who interacts with the show tonight, first time, you don't even have to go over the board. You just tell us who you support, who you're watching at the weekend, who you think's going to win, anything and everything. Chance to win a couple of tickets for Wakefield against Wigan on Easter Monday, courtesy of Michael Carter and Wakefield Trinity. And also, we want you to like and subscribe to our podcast and give it a review. Yes. We need you to review it.
Better than mine.
There's thousands of you listening to it. We need people to start reviewing it.
I feel I should read Michael's comment because I misunderstood what he said.
Right.
About
go on then. Write a reply.
He wasn't saying they're not southern. He was saying that they are northern because they're just Wakefield and Castleman reserves.
Fair enough.
Elsewhere, we're looking for listeners from all over the world. David's in the Middle East.
All right.
Oh, but today's in North Yorkshire. Which is nice.
Must have a big backyard. Yeah.
Ted says Bobby Goulding has put his hat in the ring for the Saints job.
Bobby, if you're listening. Bob,
sorry.
Come on.
Good old Bob. We asked earlier, are you going to pay to watch England versus Samoa, which Julie Stott wrote about in the Daily Star at the weekend? We don't know how much it's going to cost. And so far the response has been, no, we're not going to pay to watch England versus Samoa.
Who's got it? Which TV network?
Interestingly, your lovely friend at Featherston, Joanne, told us that they asked to broadcast the Toulouse game, which I believe is at Easter. They're playing them on Monday. Have I got my?
No,
they've already
played
them, haven't they?
Yeah.
They asked to do the game, and they were told no. What they wanted to do is get everyone down at the club, make a few quid, to support their club, get it on so they could watch it. Not allowed.
Which we've seen in football the weekend. Sheffield United had a big crowd down at Bramall Lane watching a big telly.
Well, the Championship do it. They have a bin back for the fans. So when Leeds are at Brentford on a Tuesday night, you can go to the ground and watch it. Therefore, putting money into your club, which makes your club better.
Remind me, who owns...
But yet Featherston are not allowed to do this.
Who owns the rights to the football league?
Who stopped them doing it?
Is it Sky who stopped them doing it?
But who owns the rights to the football league?
I'm not... No, well...
And rugby union
is
second
Sky?
Tier.
Really?
Well, the thing about this England streaming, is it the RFL or the RLIF?
Well, it's Nigel Wood regardless, isn't it?
Is it because the game has been sanctioned by the International Federation that they want to try streaming, or is it the RFL because it's England? So what does Samoa get out of it? Are we beaming it back to Samoa?
Don't know.
The other thing is, until we get a statement from the RFL/RLIF, who I think definitely are doing it, but we haven't got the details yet, is it one game? Is it three games? Because it's a triple header. Do we get all three for our
£5? I don't know.
It's hard to talk about it because we don't know. The only issue is twofold, I think. One is, if the BBC have offered £50,000 to show it on BBC Two at 10:30 in the morning, you're likely to get up to 1 million people watching. That's not small potatoes. Mm. The other thing is, it's the England national team. They should never, ever be behind a paywall. If you want to put Championship games behind because they're not shown anywhere else, fine. If you want to do the Super League game that isn't on Sky, fine. Don't ever put your England team behind a paywall.
Correct.
This is our
should Nigel Wood and his team not be approaching... Channel 4, I think, was it the latest football they had on their website the other day? I saw
I
it.
I have no idea.
Well, yeah, they had a ladies' football game, free to view, on the website.
And
they will then gauge that and see how many viewers they get and then think, well, actually, what we might do is we might pay for the rights for that, mm-hmm. and maybe that's what England should be doing. I'm not saying I'm against the BBC. I'm not. I think they get too much for free off rugby league. I don't think they pay the market worth, Phil. But I'm with you. They do bring an audience.
50 grand for an England game against Samoa that's a friendly on a Saturday morning, that's about fair. I mean, if you think that, how much are they going to charge? A fiver?
Is that a fact, that figure you've quoted?
No, I'm saying is. Well, I don't know if it's fact because nothing has come out publicly, but that's what we are led to believe.
This is my criticism.
We're led to believe.
This is my criticism of all these Challenge Cup deals. We're told, yeah, it's bringing new audiences. Rugby League's been on the BBC for 30, 40 years. No more people are watching it.
Did you see the Barb, which is the authorised figures for the first tranche of Sky games this year?
No. Can we come on to that in a moment?
No, but it's important because the BBC have been getting as bigger numbers for their stream of Challenge Cup games as Sky have been getting for some of the Super League games. That is why a terrestrial channel is very important.
It is, and it's why a terrestrial channel, Phil, should pay for it. And we are never told what the BBC pay for it. It is my feeling, and this is only my feeling, that what they pay is peanuts, and we could get more money for our sport from ITV, for instance.
If there is a market for what we're offering ITV. I think there isn't a market for Championship Rugby League for some reason that they don't want to commit to teams that people don't really know.
Okay.
But I think the England national team is something completely different.
How does TV, if you're not on the BBC, pay for itself?
No,
through advertisements.
Yeah.
And if you've got an audience of 2 million people, you're going to be able to sell advertisements to pay for that game.
But you haven't got an audience of anything for something that you've never tried before. But I think if you offer Channel 4, Channel 5, the England national team, you've got a product. I think, if you offer them Batley against Featherstone,
that's not quite as
exciting.
No, you're misreading what I'm saying.
No, but at the moment, there's nobody else bidding for that.
How do you
so
know?
Do you give
How
it
do you know? Because it's a close shot. Oh, there you go, BBC. You can have all our rugby league.
I think in this case, the BBC, because they want it for the run-up to... This is our only game before the World Cup. This is our World Cup warm-up match. The BBC, I've got the World Cup. I think they bid real money for this game. And it fits the BBC Two schedule at 10:30 on a Saturday morning. So I think the figure bandied around is £50,000. If that's right...
Yeah, well, that's
if
fair
that's
comment.
Right,
yeah, I have no problem
then
with that.
I think if you're going to charge £5 to watch, you're not going to get anywhere near £50,000.
No, you're not, as a matter
so
of principle.
So what's the strategy? This is what I mean. If you're there to get the value of your product and you've been offered 50 grand, take the 50 grand and the million people
But does it
watch.
Just not show that the people in charge have no concept of what's going on in the real world?
Well, we haven't had a statement from
As we said, last week, our listeners want to watch more rugby league.
Well, the other thing is, who is the host broadcaster? And do they want a fee?
I don't know. Scorey's gone quiet, so we must be talking a bit too seriously. Let's move on. At RL on RY on Twitter, you can get in touch.
Yeah, let's
as
talk
well
about
via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page.
People have to watch in the north and what isn't in the north. Ian, though, saying, our touch judge is a waste of time, apart from signalling successful conversions. We'll bring in Rod Studd's net, and then we don't even need them for that. James is concerned about players becoming time wasters by pretending to be injured and diving. The play of the ball is creeping in as well.
Yeah.
And chelping at referees and stuff like that. Graham's not a fan of the RFL. Don't need to really read the rest of that. Jimmy says, does Championship 1 need restructuring? This hoary old subject we come to. And the concern is not yesterday's big win for Toronto on the telly, in front of however many people subscribe to Premier Sport, but surely the concern should be the fact that Keith Lee, who haven't been very good this season, looking at the league table, put 80 past Hemel, or as they're also known, Dewsbury Reserves.
Their average score, Hemel, is, 66-7 is what they're losing by at the minute, Hemel. It's not working, is it, for them at the minute? I would say it could be two conferences in the in League One.
I think it depends who you speak to. London Scholars would hate that. They're doing a lot of development work. They want and need to be playing teams that
people have heard of.
Well, and also teams that can bring them on. I think we've talked about it in the international arena that France need to play England to make them better. England need to play Australia and New Zealand to make them better. And I think the danger for clubs like Coventry Bears and London Scholars is if you divorce them from playing the better teams, then they will be stuck. I still think there is a whole debate that needs to be had about what do we expect from development teams, what did we hope to get out of them in the time that they've been in the division, and why are their crowds not moving?
Well, what's the crowd there at Stags? 118, isn't it? And they've won at Gloucester 170 or something.
179. They do a lot of good work at Gloucester, but they can't seem to get people through the gate. 180 at Oxford.
But yeah, down the road from Gloucester at Bristol, we could get a full house for a minor international, if you like.
And I would like to hear from Mr. Rimmer at the RFL, who was the architect of the national footprint, as he put it, how he thinks it's gone since it was introduced top-down, as opposed to allowed to be grassroots up. I don't think we'll get that comment, to be honest.
No.
We all want to see these teams succeed. Mm. We all want to see people playing rugby league all over the place at a high level.
Yeah, but also too as well then, right? You're saying about that, and young Matt Jowett, who's a quality player, he's proved that at Wakefield and he's been shelved out to Oxford. How is that any good player development for him? All it is just giving him game time. It's not going to make him a better player.
Well, what would he be better, playing at Oxford or playing in the reserves? Well, that would be his option at the minute. He's not getting in the team.
Well, Wakefield don't have a reserve team, do they?
Yeah, so if they had, what would be better for him?
Well, playing in reserve, because he's playing against the Wigan reserves and Warrington reserves, and is it Hull have got reserves? It'd be better, to be honest with you.
But in those reserve teams could be guys from Lock Lane or Featherstone Lions.
Well, they have all the academy lads, don't
so
they?
So why is he not better playing at Oxford?
Instead of reserves, why don't we look at centres of excellence? And why don't we look at, in the same way that Hull and Hull KR have come together, that Castleford and Wakefield and Featherstone would come together as a centre of excellence, and that you concentrate the talent, and that then you start breeding those teams as reserve grade teams, and they're of a higher quality, and you have one in the south of England and one in Cumbria, and at the moment the one in the northeast is getting thrashed every week at junior level. So
certainly the one in Cumbria, that's the same, that gets hammered every week.
But if it was a combination of all of the Cumbrian professional teams producing a centre of excellence.
They're getting hammered nearly every week and all, to be honest with you. They're not very good. Except Barrow.
We have to do something.
Barrow are doing very well under Paul Cleary, but the other two, they're pretty poor.
We have to do something. There are less people playing.
But some comments in on Twitter regarding the streaming. We'll come to those in a moment, but go on.
Yeah, Sean was saying because the terrestrial TV took over the lower leagues, I'm not sure we've said this before with the numbers who watch some of the games in the lower leagues, whether there's that audience for them. But as we've said before, we are willing here to put together a programme of highlights.
We have offered, and we were told we would get a response, and that offer went in probably 2 weeks before the start of the season. We're in week 9. Not heard anything. Really? And we have shown that we can do it. Look, if someone can do it better than us and willing to do it for nothing, great. It's all for the well and good of the game. But if they're not, then let someone have a go. Those rights at the minute have been wasted. And that's poor. That's poor form.
Elsewhere, and we did say that other teams have scored bigger results in League One. Toronto are not the issue in League One, scoring lots of points when they've got, you know, Craig Hall, Fui Fui Moi Moi. Now they sign Ryan Bailey, Sean Penkovic, who isn't a controversial signing, as people have said. He had a ban, he served that time, he's back. That's not controversial. But there you go.
How many players do they want, Toronto?
Well, they might be setting up a reserve team to play in the Canadian League, I don't know.
How many players do they want?
Playing the Montreal Mounties or something.
You know, interesting.
I think more Canadian players.
They're already building a team for next year.
Mm. Okay. Anything more?
David thinks, asked, will they ever get to Super League, Toronto? Or will they be fast tracked there? Well, we don't know what's happening next year, do we yet? So someone's asked if we should have 16 teams in Super League with Toronto and Toulouse joining the party.
I think it'll go back to 14. I think that would be the only way that they could do that.
It's not about the number of teams, it's about the number of games you play. You can play in conferences of 8, you could have 16 teams. You need quality and you need less games.
Fair enough.
Gary is presuming, Gary Carter, is that the streaming of France versus England on L'Equipe's website triggered the idea. It will only work if more than £50,000 is taken. And I think that's what, I can't say a survey of our listeners is necessarily scientific, but I'm sure.
So we've got to pay a fiver to watch this. What channel is it on?
You won't get it on your Nokia brick, that phone you've got, Score. You'll have to upgrade.
The problem is, and someone's pointed out.
No, so you get it on your phone, is that it?
Oh, you watch how it on can a computer. You watch it? Have you got a computer?
I can't spell computer, never mind, have one.
Someone's pointed this out on the comments on Facebook. If it's streamed somewhere, if it's broadcast in Australia, people will be able to find it for free without paying.
Hmm.
You know, because they do that anyway for the Premier League.
Yeah. Well, you only need to join a betting site and you would probably be able to get a legal stream of it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Please gamble responsibly.
It is what it is. But we shall see what happens, because it hasn't been announced yet, have we, sir? Mm. Elsewhere on the comments, Barry Zaster's a Salford fan, as we discovered earlier. What are your thoughts on Mason Caton-Brown not getting much game time at Wakefield after leaving Salford? I guess he's got to find his way into the team ahead of Ben Jones, Bishop and Tom Johnston.
Exactly. Two good wingers, them, Scoy.
Well, two good wingers, and they say they're getting the right service, and they'll score you tries, but not even just, you know, tries from 10, 15, 20 yards out. They've shown already the pace, what they've got. You give them half a gap, and it's good night, God bless. You put your glasses down, time, and they've got plenty of pace. So, again, it's great that, you know, there's competition for places, and you do know that if you do get left out, exactly as Springer has done at Cass with Darryl Powell from there, if you're not playing as well as what we think you should be playing, there'll be somebody in there waiting to take your spot and looking to make an impression. Simple as that.
Brian says if Wakefield aren't careful, they'll lose Matt Jarrett. He's too good to play in League One. Mary says, what about that super try by Jesse Senilifau? Reminding me of John Olomou against England in 1995, when he just bashed the players out of the way.
It was the two plays great, before as well. Yeah. Absolutely scattered.
But you know what, you know, because I know they don't tackle around the legs anymore. They don't, you know, they're told to lock on or hold on and whatever. But if any of the players had gone around the legs, it'd have been stopped 20 metres out, wouldn't he? Just fall in front of him. It'd have fallen over. Easy. But anyway, what do I know?
That would have hurt Sean Wayne, that try.
Oh, of course it would. Absolutely.
Everything he prides himself on went missing in that set of six.
Yeah, he did indeed. Yeah.
Mm. Well, we're looking forward to Saints and Wigan this week, because obviously Saints depleted, Wigan depleted.
If Wigan play like they played against Cass, they'll batter St Helens on Friday.
Even though they sat Cunningham in the play, you're looking for a reaction?
But it's still the...
Huh?
Well, I don't know. Is Sean not going to be the Craig Shakespeare's of rugby league?
Sean O'Loughlin could be back. Michael McAlorum could be back.
Mm.
That would change the dynamic.
I just thought Wigan, despite all the injuries, actually didn't play that bad the other night.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
You know
play
what
that
I mean? It took a good effort from Cass
to
beat
them. But also as well for St Helens this week, right? All for St Helens, it'd be interesting if young Richardson gets called back, won't it?
It'd be very interesting who's picking the team, because even if they appoint a new coach, they're not going to know the players particularly.
Well, they're not going to appoint a new coach now, fella.
So is Sean Long going to pick the team? In which case, as you say, who he brings in and who he leaves out will be very telling.
He's got to pick the team, hasn't he?
You'd think so.
He's got to pick the team.
Or Mike Rush, maybe he'll pick the team. I don't know.
Who do you think's going to win, Scotty? I know we'll do our predictions at the end, but do you think Saints will bounce back? They've got a tough Easter, Wigan and Cass.
I think Wigan will batter them. I do. Yeah, I think Wigan will batter them.
All right, we'll do our predictions at the end. Send yours in as well on Facebook, Radio Yorkshire Facebook page, or you can get in touch on Twitter at RL on RY. Lots going on, as always.
Yes, yeah, a lot of people asking Scotty why he didn't play on Saturday. He injured, were you?
Gout.
Yeah, see?
There you go.
You missed that exclusive yesterday.
Gout.
Yeah. Team news. Is that how it broke on Radio Yorkshire first?
Were you in the 19?
Stone, yeah.
I don't know what I was in, to be honest with you, but gout, unfortunately. Yeah. But I tell you what, when we all muck at Crooksy, when I spoke to him the day after, he said, oh, Scully, after 10 minutes, I seized up, I had to come off, I couldn't move, my body just seized. Excuse me, well, at the end of the day, same as Craig Murdoch, used to say Craig's 44, Crooksy's 55. You know, they've not run around for many, many years. And with two-handed touch, two-handed grab, and I've played many games of them, you know, it's just too fast. But you still think, your head's going, yeah, I can get there, yeah, I can get there. You know, it's like a cartoon, you know what I mean? Half your body's there and half your body's left back. Do you know what I mean? But Crooksy said, oh, my body just ceased. My body's absolutely killing me. I said, it's not just today. It's going to be the day after, and the day after, you know, and there. But it was great, great for Pelle seeing. He's got a 3-month testimony, so there was a good crowd there. The other half, the doc said there was about 500 or 600 people there, so they enjoyed it. But, yeah, the lads would have been haking yesterday, but what the doc did say, he said Radders were furious with the performance on Friday night.
What, are the charity tips?
Did he check it out?
With their performance, but he wasn't too happy with the whole lot performing. But I tell you what, that should be a belter as well, because both coaches will be looking for a reaction. Leeds getting beat at Warrington, and Hull from there getting absolutely hammered by Salford. So looking forward to that one, and looking forward to being there on Friday as well. Looking forward to that, me and the doc.
Should be good. We've got live commentary on Radio Yorkshire of Castleford against Wakefield. That should be a superb game.
I tell you what, then, who do you reckon's going to get on top in the forwards, that between Wakefield and Castle? I reckon they're going to rip in. I reckon that is going to be very, very tasty. Mm. I do.
David Fifita, I think.
Do you reckon? Okay, then let's. I'll ask you this, Emery. You're the Wakefield fan. You know the way the Cass forwards are playing, and the way they're coming. And Millington might be back as well. Mm-hmm. You
Andy
know,
Lynch
will
as well.
The Wakefield forwards, will they be able to hold Springer and the Junior Moores and Big Jesse?
Well, it's going to be difficult, isn't it? Because Wigan couldn't. Well, they had a decent. You know, I know they've got injuries, but they had a decent pack.
Because Wakefield pack,
only Salford have so far. Yeah. So hopefully Chris Chester.
Yeah,
will John Keir know the magic Ian Watson formula?
Get on to Willie Poch.
Well, the Wakefield pack at this moment in time since the Leeds game, they've been ripping in. They've been going very, very well. So it's going to be a belter, isn't it?
It's a big test, isn't it? But. You know, by all rights, Castleford should win.
So well, we've had an interesting message from Stephen.
Forget the forwards, forget them. Stephen says, who's better? Ben Jones-Bisman, Tom Johnston, Greg Minnick and Ray Egan.
I'll tell you what. What a good call that is, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you, you'd have any of them, wouldn't you? You would have any of them. And even if you look, pick an England shirt now, they wouldn't look out of place in England jersey, would they?
Mm.
I'd say what that is going to be a. I'd say what would be a greater foot race, wouldn't it? Mm. If one of them took an interception, you know, just to say I've took one and then there's 2 yards, it would be a great foot race between them all, wouldn't it? Absolutely. Too close to call that one. Oh, what a great question.
It's going to be a great game. It's going to be great. It's going to be much better than the earlier game as well. I hope people watch it.
If I was going to put my neck on the chopping block, I'd go for Johnson. And Minnickin. I'm just going to say, is it? I tell you what, I've got to go split 50-50. Johnson and
Gary, we don't do fence sitting. On
I don't sit
show.
On the fence. I don't sit on the fence. Minnickin and Johnson for me. 200 mistakes in Greg Eden, and Jones Bishop. Well, anyway, unfortunately, Johnson's just gets the vote.
No sympathy for Scully, by the way, on social media. Craig says, rich man's disease is gout.
Yeah.
And Joanne's blaming me on too many gourmet burgers.
Oh, I'm getting loads of sympathy, aren't I? Huh? Honest, do me a favour. You know, if you haven't suffered with gout, I'll tell you what, there's only 3 people I want to get gout. Don't worry about that, I guess I might not say it, but there's only 3 people I want to get gout, because it is very painful. Any listeners out there who do suffer with gout, you know exactly how painful it is, and yes, I would love Mr. Lawton, Mr. Lamb, and Mr. Lindsay to get gout from head to toe for a fortnight. And, yes, I'm not bitter.
No.
No, it's port, not bitter, that causes gout.
Well, when you sup 18 pints.
Joe Lettuce, a regular drinker of this programme.
Yes.
What's happened to Lee? Flash of the panel, do you think they'll bounce back? Of course, they were beaten by the Catalans,
While we're talking about that, Bruno, our French listener, who does the radio in for Catalan, love listening to him. I don't know what he's saying, but I love listening to him. You can hear the passion in his voice. He's been getting stuck in here as well, Scott. He said, oh, do you think Catalans were on holiday when they were at Lee last week?
Well, obviously, they've listened, but again...
this is not another Mr. Morton, is it?
No, what I'm saying is, man, it seems to me that...
Scotty's going to be the highest paid individual in rugby league this year
It seems to me they've listened, don't they? But it's not me they should be listening to. They should be listening to the coach, respecting the coach. You know, we all know the response what we've had over the last few weeks when I've been ripping into different people and ripping into different clubs. Don't be listening to me. Well, if you want to listen to me, you know, that's all well and good, but it should be your coaches you're listening to.
You know that pit they have at Wigan? I'd love to see you thrown in it.
Oh, by the way.
With a selection of rugby league forwards.
I just want to see it.
Sky get a lot of stick, but the shot of the Wigan fans walking out of the ground on Thursday was the second funniest thing they've shown after man closes League Lead Shield box.
Well done to the Catalans on Friday, because, you know, not many two people would have said that Catalans would have beaten Lee, certainly at Lee from there. But, yeah, well done the Catalans. But I tell you what, when you're talking about Lee, I tell you what, them wheels, they're not just punching at the moment. They're falling off, aren't they? Because I think they have had 9 games so far. They've played 6 games at home. Supposed to make that a bit of a fortress. Yeah, them wheels, they're not just punching. They're falling off, Phil Kaplan.
They've hit the buffers, and I think that was always going to happen. They're not used to playing the week in, week out rugby. The intensity of Super League. If you defend really well for five of tackles, and then on the sixth you lose your concentration, the opposition score. That doesn't tend to happen as much in the Championship. You can't make mistakes to the same degree in Super League and get away with them. And you've got to learn that. You've got to be put under that pressure every week. So I think that was always going to happen for Lee. Tony Gigo coming back was important for Catalan. It's not that one man makes a difference. I just think he gives them a little bit extra at the back, scored a good try, organises quite well, and means that Willie Armour can move into the centres where he's more of a threat. So I think that did help having him back. But I think they've lost Luke Burgess for the season, which will be a real blow.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to credit Catalan, because they were in an absolute hole. We were saying this time last week, is Lauren Fressinou going to be the coach that might be the most under threat, and how are they going to fashion a win? And I think it was more convincing than the final scoreline. Lee got a couple of tries late on. That's a good result. They're staying over. They'll feel they've got a chance of beating Huddersfield on Wednesday. They then fly back and have an extra day to prepare against Salford, extra couple of days. So, they could look at this Easter period with a different pair of glasses than they did going into it.
We should ring Lauren up and see if he wants to get it and it down to the hotel, yeah. Tomorrow.
I'm available.
In French, that would be fantastic.
I'm available to come into any dressing room. And at the end of the day, if you want me to come into that dressing room and tell you how well you're playing, that'll do for me. But I'll tell you what, if you want me to come into that dressing room and rip into you to tell you how rubbish you are, I'll do that as well. There's always two sides to every story, isn't there? Good and bad. There's no in between. You're either good or you're rubbish. And I'll tell you, don't worry about that.
So when you review the podcast, we need people to review the podcast. Are we good or rubbish?
Sensational.
That'll do. Well done. That's the first time you've ever said anything right on this show.
like fingerprints, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Correct.
Like fingerprints.
Absolutely.
Well done.
See, now people are saying there is some respect for Sky. Andy Clarendon Gold, which I'm assuming is not his real surname. A lesser man would be bedbound, he says. Sky's not. He's a Rugby League Hall of Famer, Andy. They don't give that out to anyone. I know people want... I've seen some people talk some rubbish on internet forums, but the amount of people have been putting up names for people who should be in the Hall of Fame. And I'm not going to name him, but dearie me, give your heads a shake. Yeah. Ian says, hated Scotty as a player, probably because he killed Cass in the 80s. Grown to like him lately, talk some sense.
Yeah. Maskey's well been on. Maskey said it'd be a big chopping block if you put your head on it, he said.
Is that Colin Maskell?
It is, yeah. Maskey's
hey, Maskey, you've got a bigger melon than me, lad. Don't worry about that, son. You've got a bigger melon than me.
And as Andy points out, we're looking forward to Wednesday because it could be the debut for Huddersfield's big signing of the winter.
Yeah, Jake Mamo. Yeah. He's ready to go.
Wowee, Jake Mamo, wowee. Isn't he the combination of Jonathan Ferson, Andrew Jones, Cameron Smith, and Billy Slater? Wowee, can't wait. Have you heard of him?
We have got live commentary. Have you heard of that him? Game. You've built it
have
up
you,
nicely
have
there.
Have you heard of him?
Against the Dragons.
I'm asking
live
you the question. I'm
Yorkshire.
Asking you the question live on Radio Yorkshire. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, we talked about him on this program. Saying he's coming to save you from Huddersfield. We'll find out.
You'll like him. He's got a ponytail.
Right. Oh. It's a fascinating game. With him.
Huddersfield win. They're in the top 8.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Small margins.
Exactly. We're all talking about, Huddersfield having an awful start to the season. They're 1 point behind St Helens, 3 points behind Wigan.
Isn't this league
They've played
great?
A game more.
Wigan 6th, St Helens 7th. It's great. After last year where it was all very much
well,
the wrong
you,
side.
But you forget, because at the beginning of last year we were talking about Widnes, who'd won 6 out of 7, and we're going to break the mould.
So are we saying that Castleford are going to...
No, but after Easter, let's reassess.
What we'll do next Monday.
Because that was, again, one of the arguments against the increase in the salary cap was we're starting to get uncertainty of outcome. Well, at the moment, we've still only had 4 winners of Super League in 21 years.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen when fourth plays third on Friday. Hull. hammered by Salford, Leeds beaten by Warrington, with one man less.
Jay, what about? I tell you what, I'm looking at the league table here. And I'm looking at the way the teams are playing.
Gary, as a rule of thumb,
and I'm looking at consistency here. And this might be a little bit silly what I might say here, but. Tell you what,
feel we should have some build-up for that comment.
And the way they're going, and they're not getting many injuries, and the way they are, I tell you what, Castleford Tigers, and how many times did I mention it last year? We Dover out the Castleford Tigers for the treble. I'm telling you.
He's done it 8 weeks ago, and now you said Castleford Tigers
I'm telling you.
Oh my goodness, mate. Let's just have
Are you trying to say I'm putting the mockers on now?
Let's just have a word. Last year you said Leeds were going to win the treble. They nearly got relegated.
Well, yeah. All right, not quite, but they're in the bottom four.
Not someone far off.
St Helens to go unbeaten the year before, that was a
St Helens to go unbeaten. That unbeaten run lasted about 2 days after you said that. They lost at Hull KR the very next day.
Hold on,
so
Castleford, if the form goes off now, you're trying to say it's my fault because I said Castleford to win the treble. Is that what you're saying?
You jinxed it.
Oh, come on, Cass fans.
Cass fans and here starting to like you. They're going to hate you now. That's it. Gone.
No, hey, listen. Tell you, honestly, the way they. And I tell you, that performance on Friday night, you know, certainly from a defensive point of view, that's different. That's what plays out, because when you look at the start of the game, for the first 10 or 12 minutes, three penalties away, dropped the ball in the first three sets on the third and fourth tackle, and the fourth, boy, we need to sharpen up here. And,
but it was
and
very controlled. The defence on their line was fantastic. The going for the penalty was out of character, but it was a different way of approaching the game, just saying, we're going to control this.
And I tell you what I know, Adam Milner...
dropped the goal at the end.
Yeah, the way... Well, it was great to see, isn't it? It's just...
it just makes a statement.
He just sat there in total control. And you know what, as well? Because when you look at Darryl's body language, when you've seen it on the big screen there, you can see him saying to his players, yeah, well done. Because you're thinking for yourselves, you're playing what you see.
You're practicing for scenarios that will come down
the line. As I keep saying, Phil, it's quite simple. The game of rugby league, it's all sport. It's quite simple. You train because you want to for your match day. So how you train is how you play, and how you play is how you train, and that's exactly what Darryl Powell is getting from his players. And all do it with a smile on their faces there. And I tell you what, Cath fans, the Scoey's saying it. The Scoey, the legend, is saying it.
Oh, no.
You're ready for the treble.
Luke Gayle giving the salute to the Wigan fans as he crossed.
Brilliant. Yeah, why not? Why not? I can remember we used to play Wigan and Sean Edwards giving the nodding dog when he's got a try,
Has there ever been a really good halfback that hasn't wound up the opposition?
I never.
Alex Murphy?
I never.
You're still winding up now. You've played for 20 years.
You've been mentioning interceptions all night.
What, a chip over the tops? Yeah, but no, I'll tell you, Cass, honestly, they are the real deal. Simple as that.
So, very good. We should mention Declan Patton.
On the basis
of the fact that you've been championing his cause while he hasn't been in the team.
For over 12 months now, as well, to be
given an opportunity. Kevin Brown, we're led to believe, won't play over Easter. Patton proved everything that you thought he would.
Absolutely. And why was the only one dropped for Warrington's poor form is still a head scratcher for me, but. Got the opportunity.
Do you think he looked different
on Friday night?
Do you think he looked different on Friday night? Did he play slightly differently to you?
No, I don't think so. I think when you saw him play end of last year, he took control. Gidley seems happier when he's got him at the side of him because they seem to say, "Well, listen, I'm going to be in control now for the next 6 or 7 minutes." Then Gidley takes charge, so they're happy and they trust each other in the roles what they're playing. They don't interfere with each other. You know, when one player says, "Right, I'll take over the kicking game for the next 5 minutes," he steps away. Then the next one says, "Right, I'm going to take charge here." Certainly from the organisation, playing with that vision and awareness, so it's getting that right balance right. Also as well, Phil, Gidley looked a lot happier.
Oh yeah, I thought he was the star man.
Gidley looked a lot happier playing at side of Patton than what he did with Kevin Brown, so this is a big head-scratcher here now for Tony Smith. Does he leave Kevin Brown out? Do we know what the dressing room's like in there? Has it been an issue with Kevin Brown coming into that dressing room? That's maybe a head-scratcher for Tony Smith to work out, but one thing for sure here now, Declan Patton cannot be dropped from that Warrington side.
One of the things Tony criticised Declan Patton for when he dropped him was he didn't feel he took the line on enough, that he was too prepared to stand back a little bit and just pass the ball on. But I think on Friday night he was taking the line on.
Is that because Kevin Brown is too dominant? rather than saying, right, OK, when you want the ball, I'm taking a sidestep away for 5 or 6 minutes, exactly, with a combination. You look at the way that Luke Gayle does it, and you look at the way that Benny Robertson, when Rangi Chase comes on, you look at the way Robert Louis and Michael Dobson are doing the scenario now. George Williams needs a partner at the side of him to take that pressure off him. So it's having that right balance. I think I know what I'm talking about, Phil, when I'm talking about halfbacks.
No, I just think that right balance. Pattern had changed the way he played.
No, because Gidley is saying, you can have your time, and then I'll have my time from there.
Because what won it was the kicking game. And the two of them were magnificent.
And, yeah, correct. And in his organisation. But the scenario here for Tony is he can't leave Patton out from there. And the situation is with the Kevin Brown.
Is there anywhere else Kevin Brown can play?
Well, he can't get unless a good appointment looks forward. Simple as that. But
Joe Westerman probably would have something to say about that.
Well, he can't leave him out. So what are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing at someone said, if you mention consistency again, he's going to stick his head in the oven.
His wife's just been on. Let's inconsistency.
We have got two live games for you on Wednesday and Friday. We're at Huddersfield Catalans Wednesday night. Friday we're at Castlewaite. It's time to do our predictions, boys, as we wrap things up this evening. We'll start off with our said game on Wednesday. Giants against the Dragons. Who's going to win, Gary?
Right, simple. The stayed over. I'm the Mr. Motivator for the Dragons. Catalan Dragons by 10.
Dragons narrowly.
They're the Bradford City of Rugby League draw.
Who are the Bradford City?
Huddersfield.
I'm going to go Huddersfield. Right, we move on. Widnes Warrington. Battle of the bottom two.
Widnes, massive hole. Warrington, Wolves. Declan Patton back to his best. Gidley likes playing with him. Warrington for mine by 14.
I don't think Widnes have got too many coming back either, so Warrington to win the Cheshire Derby.
OK.
Warrington.
Yeah, I think so. We'll do Castleford Wakefield last. Salford Lee on Friday.
Yeah, Lee's wheels, as I said, they're not just punctured, they've fallen off. And Salford, great form. Salford quite easy for mine. Salford by 28.
Salford have just got to guard against complacency. They're getting in a really good place.
That won't happen, Phil.
These are the games that you've got to win.
That won't happen, Phil.
OK.
Salford.
Yeah, full house then on that one. And Wigan St Helens.
Yeah, Wigan, as I say, they've lost three, drawn one. Yeah, winning us what the derby's all about. St Helens, new coach, players, maybe react. Don't think so. Wigan will batter St Helens. I'm going Wigan by 18.
I think if O'Loughlin and McAlorum are back, Wigan. If they're not, I'd go Saints.
OK.
Wigan.
I'm on Wigan. Hull Leeds, Gary.
Big one. Both sides coming off defeat. Certainly Hull FC looking to bounce back after that 54 points conceded against Salford. Leeds, yeah, in good form. Warrington, a little bit mismatched, but this should be a belter. Do you know what? Both my old clubs. Do I sit on the fence?
No.
No, I don't. I'm just going to go for my team, the Leeds Rhinos, by 7.
Yeah, Leeds have got a really good record at Hull in recent years. I think if Hull don't get in, depends if Albert Kelly's back and if he plays. If he does, I'd go for Hull. If he doesn't, then I'd definitely go for Leeds.
Phil Kaplan going against Leeds?
If Albert Kelly's back, I think he makes such a huge difference.
Head test, son.
Leeds.
I'm going Hull. And the big one, Cass Wakefield, live on Radio Yorkshire.
Can't wait for this one. Can't wait for it. Big West Yorkshire Derby. Two forward packs. Let's get ripped in. Backlines, sheer pace, quality at half-backs. This should be an absolute belter. Cast Tigers for mine, though. Cast Tigers for the treble. I'm going the Tigers by 12.
Don't know why, but I've got a feeling that Wakey are going to do it.
Been there last year.
I think John Keir will be the key to this. He will get.
Why is he playing?
He will treat it like a cup tie.
Why is he playing?
Well, as good as playing, he's had.
Come on, we're running out of time.
Yeah, I'm going.
You like Statler and Waldorf.
Wakefield to pull off a shot.
You're going
to
get your own spin-off show. You're on a Wednesday night when the football season ends.
No, we'll do it at 10 o'clock.
Just come in and moan.
Derek and Clive, we'll do it at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, there you go.
Drunk.
If I don't say Wakefield, I'll get slagged off, so Wakefield.
Okay. Draw. No, I'm joking. I'm going to go for Cass. That's it, another week done and dusted. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast. You missed anything? Get subscribed, you catch it all without the adverts, which is pretty good. Scoy, Phil, Richard, thanks as always. Thanks to everyone that's taken the time to tweet, Facebook messages, whatever you've done. If you listen on the podcast, send us a message on Twitter at RL on RY or via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. We'll do a draw to win the tickets for Wakefield against Wigan. Good luck to all our teams. We'll be back next Monday.